So what's that?
ESPN pound for pound list. Your peoples.
I said another justice shit. Like, nah, he'll be logical. He'll go.
ESPN pound for pound list is crazy. Covered over Usyk. What the fuck? Naoya anyway, but no Charlo or Hayman.
Oh, man, this about to get interesting. Yo, and the fact that we have to hard stop to this is fucking hilarious, too.
Huh.
Because this is like, every time we do pound for pound, it's just a fucking shit show show.
I mean, I don't think.
Bro, I can't even.
I don't think it's
going to
be
Charlo
like that today
because
everybody is pretty much on the same page with this list. But we'll see. Ready.
Charlo on the poll. I got to redo the poll.
Teddy.
And you're right, we got two guests today. Plug in foodie shit.
Info Joe, Los Angeles, in the building. Adrian, the proper role, the man from the frozen tundra.
King, straight out of Florida.
Liz Lowe, Georgia.
You already know what it is. It's the queen, Marky K, Detroit, stand up.
David Maldonado, New York City. Yo, nuts. Don't cut me off, man. Don't cut me off.
King, I mean the best. Catch me for them championship rounds.
Big Superman, Plainview, Texas.
Davidian in Buffalo. God bless you all.
In Jesus' name.
Get outside, ain't nothing. Without the callers, it ain't nothing, man.
That's real. TKO, San Diego, California.
Big Fish Bay, Palm Beach, Florida.
Detroit, incredible. Straight out the ATL.
James Benita, Huntsville, Alabama. It ain't hating. It's just the truth.
Show Kid, Mount Vernon, New York, suckers.
Coach Midday from London, UK.
Checking in from Tennessee, it's Lincoln James, P-A-Y-N-D.
It's Lincoln.
Line 6, Reed, we're spreading that boots gospel.
Mo from Bama, only in America.
Well, I'm a true anticipation to the American dream.
King Four, Crown Heights, Brooklyn, you heard? Four chicken wings and french fries, breakfast and champions. Let's get to it.
JT, you are Louisiana.
Edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nesta Gibbs, joined beside Rick Falk, Danny, what up, Boa Building, and Paul Glass, Mike Jordan is going down this morning. We got a double show. Actually, it's a triple show. Let's see. Can anybody actually make it till 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for a third show with Untitled? you know, because before then we had our 12 p.m. show live from the Wynn. It is August 29th. Things. What's up, man?
What up, champ?
Chilling.
Big day of your life, Nick. The biggest day of your life.
No sound, bro. No sound, all right, y'all. Shit.
It's all good.
I fucking hate that.
It's all good.
Yo, I swear to God, I hate that I got to remember to cut that bitch.
Oh.
And honestly, I'm going to blame it on Danny.
That is awful, Popo. I'm not going to lie.
I always got to find someone to blame it on, and it's Danny's fault, and here's why.
So far, Danny, everybody's blamed everybody for something in the first 6 seconds of
if
the show.
Because if Danny just, like, is mindful when we go live, then I ain't got to use that feature of muting his mic and forgetting that I muted everybody's mic.
Mm-hmm.
But Danny will be the type to be like, show little be live, intro be going, like, hey, yo, pass me that cord. Oh, we live? You know how he do his laughs and shit. Look, he know I almost caught that pretty good. No, but look, we're here to discuss the ESPN pound for pound list. We should
have waited. What about the ring pound for pound list?
I mean, all of them. I think that I was gonna bring up the ring anyway because of the back and forth with Doug Fisher and
Devin Haney,
and then that reminded me of, you know, Michael Coppinger and Terrence Crawford. And then I think even Crawford, Jermell Charlo and Coppinger. And, man, I'm starting to feel like maybe we ain't got no say, man. I'm going to be real. Maybe we ain't got no say. Like, how could you decide who's on the list? You don't even know how to fight.
Mm.
You can't beat nobody on the list, but you putting people on the list. Cool. So we ain't supposed to know how to fight. We supposed to know what we seeing. How much do you know what you seeing if you can't mimic what you seeing? You don't look like them when you do it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. How the fuck could Coppinger, and I ain't single him out. You know, I hope he don't catch a grudge. He knows we friends. I'm just saying, like, how could any of us really tell them where they're at, especially the undisputed ones? It's like, bro, you got a new way above so many people, he's not undisputed.
I mean,
you got Earl above so many people, he's undisputed. So this year, they've effectively taken back the status of undisputed. It's mm-hmm. no longer this covenant status of ultimate achiever, because that's what you are when you undispute. There is no claim, but these fuckers are doing that. They're putting doubt in the minds of the Haney fans, of the Charlo fans, of the Crawford fans, or whoever deserves to be on the list properly ranked. But it's just crazy to me, man. I do want to screen share so that you can get at least an understanding of why this has upset people. And I think that now this is what they're doing. It's like if they don't get the engagement, the person running the account isn't doing his job. If the writer doesn't make the article provocative enough, it doesn't get read. He doesn't get views. If he doesn't get views, his job won't be there. So you got to give us something to talk about. So here we are. We're going to fucking talk about it, man. I do not agree with it. Like I said, don't agree with the positions, the rankings. I mean, it's just weird to me, but here we go. So let me move myself up out of here.
I do like how they show how the writers actually voted at the bottom.
Nah, and that's the way it should be.
Right.
You know, they have a panel. Cool. I wish Ring did the same thing. That's exactly the way it should be. And for those of you, you know, that don't know, it is available on ESPN's website. And this is about the screen share. They do like a point system. So, you know, 10 points for first place and then they're on down. But, yeah, man, they should show, and they even show, like, who got how many votes for what place. So you see, like, Crawford got 8 first place votes and Noe got 6. That's fucking crazy.
Where are you seeing? Oh, you're on the story. I'm on the Instagram.
Oh,
so I'm showing the list. You're reading the article, which is good.
Yeah, no, I'm on the ESPN website. Yep. So,
all right. So, do they have a reason? How's the opening paragraph? Is it just
so actually, it is an article.
Is it just like Oleksandr Usyk jumps into the top 5 latest ESPN rankings?
Nah, this one actually, the article is like about Beterbiev, but from the August 20th, so that's a week ago. I don't know why it's not more current, but they do have, you know, obviously the pound for pound list, and then they'll show like the previous ranking, the record, division, last fight, and next fight. And then after that, it shows the point system, and then it shows the people that got left out, right? So Devin Haney would have been the next man up with 19 votes, or 19, I don't know, I guess points, you know, for the votes.
I'm going to have to go to this, bro.
Yeah, I'll send you the list.
Yeah.
Gervonta would have been second up with 14. Jermell would have been after him with 9. You know, so they definitely break it down. And then they even show, Ness, what each voter on the panel, how they had, what's their top 10. So, you know, starts with Teddy Atlas, Tim Bradley, Mike Coppinger, Joe Tessitore, and then a lot of people I ain't heard of. You know, obviously Andre Ward is in there. Michelle Joy Phelps is in there. So it breaks it down. Then it breaks down the fighters and how many votes they got for that place, right? Which I guess if you went to go count from each person's list, you could do yourself, but they do it for you. So you got it? But yeah, Nuss. And then Ring Magazine's list was pretty amusing to me as well, given that they have Vasyl Lomachenko on their list. But yeah, he's not even the
How do you know that's Phelps?
It's only one, Michelle Joy Phelps.
Nah, I mean, he's saying it could be somebody else with the last name Phelps.
Absolutely.
Michael Phelps.
I just know, having worked for her, that she had a vote on the ESPN panel.
So you knew she was on the committee.
Yes.
Claudia Trejos is on there.
Correct.
Who is Baby?
Baby, that's that he's African-American.
Yeah,
he just started writing this year on there, or I think, like, post-COVID.
Yeah, I think it was maybe within the last year and a half or two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I've
never heard of Moonlini. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's people on here that I've definitely never heard of. So it does break it down to you again. That
what is ESPN Experts poll?
So that is just breaking down all the writers' votes.
Oh,
right?
The votes.
So it's saying like Crawford received 8 first place votes. So I'm assuming if you go and count all the writers, that's, you know, 8 of them had Crawford number 1 pound for pound. You know, and then it says 6 for Inoue. So I'm guessing 6 had Inoue. That's,
yo, I got to Google. Who is this guy?
Who?
I'm going to screen share this. This is absurd. Who is Moy? Whatever. We're going to stop at Moy. Spence,
oh,
Crawford,
wow. Oh,
Inoue,
wow.
Fury.
Alvarez, Usyk, Lomachenko, Bivol, Beterbiev, Golovkin.
You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying. This is not a screening process. This person obviously doesn't know anything about the sport and squeezed through the cracks. What the fuck is this?
Bro, that's like...
There's no logic there, obviously. This is his top favorite fighters.
Yeah.
What's the logic?
I think one could argue, Ness. I think one could argue.
We are arguing that there's no logic.
Listen, I think one could argue perhaps that Gennady Golovkin, you definitely could make an argument he's top 15.
I'm not even getting into that.
But yeah. No, I mean, I'm just, you know, just saying.
That shit makes no sense.
That's Charlie Moynihan.
He deserves not to be covering this publicly for a while. That makes no sense, seriously. We just got to call a spade, like, Golovkin arguably lost the Derevyanchenko fight, has been fighting the bottom feeders of the division, waiting around for a Canelo fight. He's 40 years old. What is he pounding about? Like, it's crazy, man. This is crazy.
Not just the Derevyanchenko fight, but then after, defends his title, help me out here, the Polish guy. Gennady. Before
Sedimenta,
right? And you're more of a degenerate than I am, I would say. So were you familiar with Sedimenta prior to that fight?
No.
I had never heard of Sedimenta, truth be told.
No, they put him on the map.
Yeah, and I'm I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Go back and watch that fight. He didn't look good. He didn't look impressive. He was huffing and puffing. Right? He didn't look like he was the Gennady of old.
Yo, honestly, though, I mean, that right there should be grounds to be removed from the boarding committee because he's the only one with Golovkin on there. Like, literally. No one else even has a name with a G.
Damn, I'm really looking for somebody else. Name with a G, motherfucker. Oh, my God. I can't find nobody else's name with a G.
He's out of control.
You're funny.
Yo, shout out to Stevenson that made it. I don't know. I guess two times and current unified.
And taking it from the champ.
You could do it. You could be on that. And that's why I feel like Stevens is above Earl. I get it. Earl has three belts and Stevens has two, but Stevens has two plus one division. Earl just has three belts, one division. It's crazy. Like, because that has to be the logic for Crawford, right? It's like, no, Crawford's number one because he was undisputed before, and now he's this dominant heavy welterweight that hasn't lost and has won everything by knockout plus has a belt. So that makes him a multiple division champion. Because what's the logic for Crawford to be ahead of everybody's list? And then what's the logic for Crawford to be ahead of Usyk on ESPN's list, right? Because if Crawford's ahead of everybody because he undisputed before and he's this dominant fighter now, well, motherfucker, Usyk did that. He undisputed.
I'm gonna
now
be honest with you.
Unified.
I don't have an issue with Crawford or Usyk one or two. Like to me, those could be interchangeable.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Not me. They can't interchange, bro. You tripping.
Yeah, to me, I think Usyk, you know, his run at cruiserweight was comparable.
Names aren't that sexy, okay. But now his second run is more dominant and more accomplished. He has more accolades in that second run.
He does, obviously, being the current unified heavyweight champion in the world. I don't take nothing away from him, and I don't want to sound like a hater, but it's been against Anthony Joshua.
Unified champ, two-time unified, so he's proven. Whatever you may feel internally about Joshua, he proved it to the world by becoming two-time.
No. I'm just saying. See, with Fury, we can't say, oh, well, he only beat Wilder because he had already did that shit. You know what I'm saying? With Vlad. So it's like, you've said it. We've said it. We weren't impressed against Witherspoon. We weren't that impressed against Chisora.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, he looked extremely impressive against Joshua in that first fight. He won the second fight. But to me, it's just he's accomplished so much. So has Crawford. Those two are right there. I don't really have an issue. I don't have NOA right there, though. Like, to me, he ain't accomplished he ain't accomplished it. Like, not to be number one. Mm-hmm. Not to be above Terrence Crawford. Not to be above Alexander Usyk. Not to me.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two guys right now, currently, that I think can hold that number one spot. It's Terrence Crawford and Alexander Usyk.
So, again, based off my logic, the reason I rank Haney and Charlo and Usyk and Canelo high is because they undisputed. So based off my logic, Terrence should not be above Usyk. Usyk's run is comparable at Cruiser to his 140 run. Like the names are, you know, maybe Crawford has a sexier run because of Victor Postol, you know, because like.
I was there for that fight.
Who was in Usyk's run? Well, you said Bellew, so.
Well, yeah, yeah.
You said Bellew. Bellew's more popular than Victor Postol. Point blank simple.
Bellew was his last title defense.
Well, it's a wrap. Point blank simple.
Don't want people to confuse that he was part of the World Boxing Super Series, but he was that last title defense.
Yeah, if that was a title fight to get that WBC from Bellew to become undisputed, it is definitely a better run than Crawford's. There's more.
Well, no,
notable names.
Yeah, that was to become, because I want to, Bellew was BC, the WBC champ.
Yeah,
because
he beat Makabu for it.
No,
wasn't it?
No.
Who he beat?
No, hold on, I got you.
I'm pretty sure he beat Makabu for it.
You know what? I'm trying to think.
Sensual baby. Yo, you heard of Jai, I think, what is it, Jai Cortez or something like that?
So, okay, so you were right. He did beat, no, that he beat Makabu, but it was vacant, right? So then he beats BJ Flores, defends his title. So, okay, Usyk already has the BC. Mm-hmm. Usyk was the undisputed champ when he fought
Bellew?
Yes. Yes.
Bellew didn't have a belt.
So, no, because he had one up for the two David Haye fights.
When
he became WBC Cruiserweight champ, he defended against BJ Flores once and then moved up to heavyweight for those two.
So then, no. Crawford's run is better. Bellew was just a Eddie Hearn concoction to make Usyk popular.
Yeah, I mean, he was coming off, you got to think about it, man. He was coming off, he was world champion, right? So it's like, becomes world champion, defends that title, boom, David Haye. Let's not forget, he wasn't supposed to win that fight. I understand David Haye had the Achilles injury, boom, and then they run it back, he wins again, and then moves back down from heavyweight to cruiserweight to fight Alexander Usyk for the, undisputed crown.
Yeah, we got to remember Crawford's a three-time. Shout out to LV Slugger.
Yeah, three division.
With the super chat. Well, because that has to be considered when comparing him to Usyk. So Usyk completed one division. Crawford completed one division. Usyk unified another division. Crawford unified another division, right? He just did an undisputed, right? At 35, he was a... Come on, bro. What's wrong with you?
He was what?
He beat Ricky Burns and Beltran. He got a vacant, right? The first belt was the vacant with DeLorme.
Oh, you right.
Then he beat DeLorme, second belt.
DeLorme was at 40. That was a vacant at 40.
Oh. So what was the first belt at 35? Did he... Oh, so it was one time champion at 35
Ricky
only?
Ricky Burns.
But right. Only one time?
Only one time, right?
No Beltran fight?
Was Beltran a champion? Let me see. Let's see Terrence Crawford's run.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, so Crawford was the WBO lightweight. And that was it. He defended his WBO lightweight.
So he only became one-time champ at 35.
That's it. Defended against Gamboa. First defense, Beltran. Second defense, moved up to 40 for DeLorme on a vacant. Defended against Derry Jean. And then Hank Lundy. Unified with Postol. Defended against Molina. defended against Felix Diaz.
That's 40.
And then unified with Ndongo. You know, that was the undisputed fight.
So then there's only one belt at 35.
Yes.
And then one belt at 47.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You got to consider
see,
that.
And
let me read this super chat just so you can understand where I'm building. Like, I'm trying to build an argument here, but it's a little difficult because you don't know the context, right? So even though the first super chat is from AJ Smooth, we really want to get to LV Sluggers, but we'll keep it in order. $5 super chat says, shout out TBB from Oregon on the fine. Okay, we out here crabbing on the coast. All right, I hope you got some. I love crabbing. You ever been crabbing?
No.
I love it. You eat crabs?
Yeah.
It's a little frustrating, though, right? Like having to break them fuckers.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I think it's worth it, though. But, yeah, so to me, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think I get it, right? You trying to compare the two. I don't really have an issue with either guy at 1 or 2.
I'm sorry, I got lost up. We got like 5 super chats from a live chat that I know we didn't read, but shout out to Jack. So sorry we didn't see those. LV Slugger. Bud is a 3-division champ compared to Usyk, 2-times champ. Bud went no tune-up to beat Horn. Usyk needed 2 tune-ups to beat Teaspoon and Chisora. I don't want to reply first. I'm locked in Lotus. I already heard this comment.
Do you think?
So basically, I was just saying, it's just like, it's hard to compare the two. Because even though Usyk, look, I was very critical of Usyk. I thought he wasn't a heavyweight because he went the way that he went. But look at the outcome. He's still unified.
Yeah.
And he beat the man twice, both times convincingly. The second time, probably more than the first. So it don't matter that Crawford went straight into a championship fight and Usyk tiptoed or put his toe in the water because he's at a higher level.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Joshua probably a more proven and respected champion than Horn.
Two-time. Whether you think, oh, he's two-time because of the rematch clause, he had to win. He didn't win this time.
Right.
So he was capable enough to get them belts back twice and be unified twice.
Yeah.
So the way we're giving credit to Crawford and Usyk for being 2-division champions and multiple, you know, unified or multiple division champions, you got to give credit to AJ for being 2-time heavyweight unified champion. The way that many Wilder fans are going to be given credit if he becomes heavyweight again champ.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, you know, 1 and 2, not really worried about it. You know, to me, the real issue is the people that was left off the list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that was left off the list that hold that undisputed crown currently,
mm-hmm.
that was criminal. You know, when you have guys like Devin Haney that are left off, but you leave lightweights like Vasyl Lomachenko, right? Ring Magazine has Vasyl Lomachenko number 6 on their pound-for-pound list. Now, funny thing is, he's number 3 on their lightweight ratings. So how is the guy top 6 in the world, but he ain't even the top 1 in his division, not even top 2 in his division, according to them. That's beyond disrespectful. Beyond, like, Vasyl Lomachenko, Devin Haney is currently the Ring Magazine champion. You got George Kambosos next up in the ratings, then Vasyl Lomachenko. So how is he number 6 in the world pound for pound, but he's number 3 in his division? How do you leave off Jermell Charlo, who has beat literally everybody damn near at 154 pounds? You know what I'm saying? He had a draw with Castaño the first time. They run it back. He makes it decisive. Made those adjustments, made those improvements. It was night and day from the first and second fight. He's undisputed. How is he not on ESPN's pound-for-pound list?
All right, it's like you said, bro. It's criminal. It's difficult to understand why or how these things happen.
Yeah, man. You know, they need to do a better job because now you're taken away from what these guys have accomplished. Now you're taken away. Now Devin Haney is like, damn, like, why would I fight for this light, for this Ring Magazine belt when they're not even acknowledging me in their pound for pound rankings? They're acknowledging the guy that, you feel me, like, T.O. beat Loma, George beat T.O., Devin beat George. Like, if that's not one of the worst fucking aging losses in history, I don't know what is. Thankfully, it stops here, but it's like, what the fuck? How do you have him on your fucking pound? Like, he comes back against who? What has he done to earn him the number six spot in the pound for pound rankings? You talk about what he's done before, but what he's done before is have one of the worst aging losses in recent time as a world champion.
We have screen sharing the back and forth, not the entire beef with Doug Fisher and Devin Haney, but just the end where Devin tells Doug, come and get the belt, since Doug is insisting for Haney to send it back.
I think probably should go further back to where this started, Ness, because I think we're just jumping in the middle of the conversation.
Well, I'm sure you're going to give them all the context as to what took place between Haney and Fisher. But I wanted to highlight Jermell Charlo. This says, and I quote, "Don't let no man discredit you for something you worked your life to accomplish. Enjoy your straps. We know what it is. They opinion don't matter. Keep eating. Your reality is Hall of Fame. Can't take it away from you. One day your kids will enjoy what others can't." And he put the lion emoji. Just wanted to get your thoughts on, obviously, Jermell coming to the aid of Devin in that back and forth little spat between he and ring writer Doug Fisher.
I mean, obviously, Jermell Charlo has been a world champion for a very long time. He's been in this position before where he feels he's not given his flowers. You know, he is currently the undisputed super welterweight champ. ESPN does not have Jermell Charlo in their pound-for-pound list. Ring Magazine has him at number 9. So Jermell Charlo, being a vet in the game, I think just, you know, telling Devin what it is, like, yo, champ, don't even sweat it. Fuck what they talking about. We know what it is. We know at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the Hall of Fame is your reality. And, you know, Jermell's older. He's been in that position. That's where he has felt underappreciated, undervalued. So Jermell's doing, just a vet move and being there for Devin, just letting them know, don't even sweat it.
Yeah, so I'm going through the Twitter trying to find the little back and forth.
All you had to do was...
I clicked on it. It didn't work the way it normally does when you click on that one.
All right, I'll send it to you. Because that wasn't the thread.
Yeah, I can't find the fucker.
You on Devin's page?
I was on Fisher's.
I would have been on Devin's. Because that's where it started. Here we go. Right there. Sending it to you now. All right. You should have got that. But yeah, man. So when you have two publications in ESPN, you have a publication in Ring Magazine that leaves, both leaving out Devin Haney, current lightweight undisputed champion. ESPN leaving out Jermell, like, people need to sit back and reevaluate, like, who do we have, like, assessing these things? Who do we have on our voting panel? Who do we have on our writing staff? Because there's changes that need to be made.
So Devin's first tweet is, "The Ring Magazine could keep their belt. You won't see me with it before or after this fight."
And that was, obviously, as you're screen sharing the
list.
The list, the pound for pound rankings list, where he is not listed on it.
But instead, Vasile with no belts at all on the list. Dimitri Bivol with one belt and a win over Canelo on the list. I guess you beat a pound-for-pound guy, you should be on the list, right? I don't know why they took him off, but they have Inoue so high. But after that, Ring responds, or actually he tags the Ring so that they know.
So,
and after,
Doug
he goes on again. No, he goes on. He says, the youngest undisputed champ of the four-belt era, and not on the pound for pound list, guys who don't even hold the Ring magazine belt currently made the list. Get the fuck out of here. He's still hot, and he says, comes back. The next day, and says,
well, before that, Doug responds.
No, he don't.
Oh, he does, but
okay,
do your thing.
Show me. Bro, this dude gets so upset and defensive over fucking Haney. Chill, bro.
Bro, what the fuck you got to do with Haney?
It's not on his page.
Okay,
so you telling me he responded? I'm saying, no, he don't. You're like, yes, you do. And you roll your eyes, you exhale. Like, you ain't a fucking girl, dude. Breathing all heavy over a fucking message. Like, I didn't see it. Show me.
Let's see what they got for us, Danny.
I sent it to him. See if he sees it.
You had coffee this morning, Ness?
It's in my thing. So he sends me something to Doug Fisher. And it says, then mail it back to us, champ. And it says, replying to Devin Haney after the Ring Magazine post. So then going back. Haney responds to him, no problem. DM me the address and I'll have it sent out, brother. And what's that? Praying emoji, right? Praying emoji hands?
Yeah.
So does Douglas Fisher respond back to that? Because on Haney's page, it doesn't show. He just comes back and says, and to be clear, I'm not obligated to wear the Ring Magazine belt. If I earned it, then I earned it. Rather, I wear it or not. I guess he meant to say whether I wear it or not. So to ask for it back just shows y'all never wanted me to have it in the first place. Am I missing any?
So, yes, there was a response. So the response to that was that.
Doug's?
No, I just sent it to you. Right, the response to that Devin Haney tweet you just read.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see.
The combination of AJ's tantrum. Oh, I've read this before. I've seen this. The combination of AJ's tantrum in the ring and Haney's hissy fit on Twitter opened the door to an issue I've been wanting to discuss and explore for a while. There will be some championship policy changes going forward. I didn't even know Doug had that much power over there.
Says he the editor for Ring Magazine.
So it looks like after Haney responded about having the belt and earning it. So basically he's not sending it back and saying that, you know, Doug never really wanted him to have it. That's why he's asking for it back. So a fan comes and says, you literally just told him to keep the belt. Then Doug responds to that fan and says, right. He said you can keep it in quotation marks. Then he says, okay, then let me keep it. I just don't know as a business if this is a good look. You know, like, yes, writers are supposed to be able to defend themselves.
And you showed where Devin said, come get it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't show it. That should be next, I think.
Actually,
yeah, right there.
Okay.
Come get it.
And then did you see the official's response to that?
No.
He said, are you in Las Vegas?
Oh, shit.
Yes.
And this is what I'm saying. you know, I mean, you could say some things, but like, why are you talking like that? You know, that's pretty weird. I don't know. Pretty weird.
Nah, then
I don't know that it's a good look.
Nah, it's definitely not a good look, especially, you know, to you know, continue it over a period of days and to, you know, further elaborate and even go as far as like trolling, you know, on your social media platforms about it. Like, what do you gain from it? What is the purpose? How are you helping the sport, you know, by showing us?
I just don't understand. We all know that the Ring magazine is losing so much of its credibility and prestige. You know, we here at the Boxing Voice display quite a few nostalgic Ring magazine covers, but people don't order that anymore. You know, I haven't been to anyone's house in my entire life where I've seen them have a Ring magazine on a coffee table. Just never, you know? So it's like, why take to a platform that is for the youth to show that your belt is biased, to show that your staff is petty enough that when a fighter is disgruntled because he feels he's achieved the ultimate status in boxing, which the Ring called it that, then awarded him the belt for achieving the status, but when the time comes out to recognize the status, he's not on the list. So it's like that fighter is entitled to say something. I don't know that Doug was right to say anything that he said. Defend Liz, yes, but he didn't defend Liz. He's like going forth with Haney.
No, check your message. I mean, it literally can turn into like this thing, which is, you know, what he attempted to do on his social media platform, which is what Michael Montero attempted to do on his social media platforms. There were videos made, like there was pictures posted. It was pretty embarrassing and just hard to see.
So you want me to show the picture with him and Loma?
Yeah, so the way it shows on my screen, you see the original tweet that he's responding to and then, you know, the conversation with the picture.
Yes.
Okay.
So it says, Montero says, okay, I'll give you an exclusive. This is true. Every morning, each contributor at the Ring joins conference call where we talk about how amazing Vasyl Lomachenko is, how handsome he is, and how we can keep him in our ratings. I've never missed one single call. And then Doug reposts a picture that says he's so awesome. Yeah, they trolling. But that's what I'm saying. It's unprofessional, you know, because stand by your work. You believe Haney doesn't deserve to be on the list? Say that with some sort of facts. You know, Haney is contesting the list. He's not understanding. Like, if you go back to his original tweets, give me a second, because this is sad, you know. They could have done it so much more professional, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, no question about it. Like you said, cool, you want to defend your belt, you want to defend your publication, you want to defend your ratings, that's cool, but he didn't do that. His first response was mail it back to us, champ. You get what I'm saying? It wasn't...
Well, Devin Zaney's first response is they could keep their belt.
Right.
So he, you know, they fought fire with fire, I guess. I don't know, man. It's hard. I still feel that the fighter is allowed to be upset. It's his accomplishments that you're diminishing or discrediting or saying are not enough yet. At the very least, if you're not discrediting and diminishing, you're saying it's not enough yet.
Like, aren't you the guy that always talks about the man that beat the man that beat the man, and how Fury beat Klitschko, and how, you know, Devin beat George, who beat Tio, who beat Loma, but yet Loma is the, you know, so. Now, I mean, it's, yeah, man, it, you know, like I said, it's truly criminal. It's honestly embarrassing to see them stoop so low.
Yeah, well,
you know,
this is the
with
message.
The, with the continuing of the.
This is the message that I feel that Doug or the ring should have, you know, responded to professionally when he is questioning here the youngest undisputed champ of the four belt era and not on the pound for pound list. It's crazy, especially when you guys who don't even hold that Ring Magazine belt currently made the list. Get the fuck out of here. So that is where someone should have replied there, like, well, champ, XYZ, you know, you don't have to have a belt to be on the list. So-and-so in 1970 was on the list with no belt. Like, some sort of factual response, but to antagonize a champion is crazy, you know? And I guess I may do it in my own way, too. I don't know. But it just didn't look good to me. But nonetheless, their list got the attention that they wanted, for sure. Everybody's talking about it. And it's moving the needle, without a doubt. It's moving the needle, without a doubt. It's something that's been going on in boxing for a while, though. It's like I said, you know. Broner and Rayfield, they used to go at it. Broner called Dan all types of fat. Crawford and Coppinger, you know. And now Devin and Doug.
Yo, then there was Montero posted a video. I watched the first few minutes, bro. It was pretty hard to watch. Apparently, we're not the only boxing podcast that takes live callers, though. But, yo, he was like, he brought up the fact how Devin wishes Dan Rayfield a happy birthday because Dan rates him. And I'm like, he's like, don't you find it weird that a fighter is wishing a media member a happy birthday? Don't really see that too often. And I'm like,
I mean, you don't.
I mean, I don't know. Shit. I feel like
you don't see it often. But,
I feel like,
but when you see it, it sticks. Like when Floyd said, you're only going to get my exclusives on Fight Hype. And Floyd still to this day shouts out only Fight Hype. Like, it isn't something you see often, but it's not something that's taboo. And certain fighters of a certain status, they take that stance. Like, or celebrities, you know, where they are aligned with a certain media to get their message out. Of course. I mean, that's old. Floyd did it. So, you know, I don't think it's a big deal for him to wish Dan a happy birthday, and I don't make it as big of a deal as the you know, other writers that are saying it doesn't happen often. But I agree, it doesn't happen often.
Oh,
I don't see Crawford wishing nobody. He definitely ain't wishing no Coppinger a happy birthday. But I haven't. I mean, you know, we follow. I know you don't, but you get tagged or sent, and I follow. Honestly, I don't really see that, you know. But Dan is different. I'm sure there's other people that wish Dan a happy birthday. He's pretty big in this sport. I think he got like 320-something thousand followers on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but Dan's huge for sure.
He's huge. No pun intended, Danny.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've definitely seen it, especially, I guess you write about the social media part, right? Because I feel like you definitely see it more, you know, the relationships in private. But it was just funny to see them bring it up, you know, funny to see them even continue the trolling, if you will, you know, on the video. That was interesting to see for sure.
I mean, it's a page out of Jake Paul's book. I don't understand how in this generation and this day and age, we don't understand what it is. You know, 50 Cent did it early. And now, you know, the influencers are taking it over. But, like, you jump on something while it's hot. And I'm sure they've gained a following by Haney giving them the attention and introducing them to another audience, which is his own, because it's his followers he's talking to when he tweets. His followers have to retweet and share in order to get it outside of his fandom. We got a poll on our youtube.com/TheBoxingVoice Show. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that thumbs up button if you haven't already hit the thumbs up to help the algorithm know that we are rocking out every single day right here, 7 days a week. And today we will be at the Wynn Casino starting our new gig. So should Devin Haney, Jermell Charlo, Tank, or Stephen Fulton be on the list? Damn, Fulton wasn't on anybody's list.
Yeah,
wow.
He was at the bottom, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah? They put him in their top 10s, individual writers?
Yeah, individually.
The guy Baby D.
Okay.
He got him at 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right there on that cusp. I have him, like, right outside my top 10, but I think he's definitely
okay
on that cusp.
Yeah, it was only Baby.
Yeah, but
47% Jermell Charlo should be 47% believe Jermell Charlo should be on the list. 41% believe Devin Haney should be on the list. 3% for Fulton. 9% for Tank. And that's our poll. If you want to vote and let us know how you feel, who you feel belongs or doesn't belong on the list, I think we could go ahead and open up these phone lines for anybody that wants to also call in and maybe give your list. We also got a $10 super chat, but you know what we got to do, right?
What's that?
We got to remind everybody that in, let me see, so exclusive Canelo Alvarez, Gennady Golovkin, I don't know what we call it, like fight pass, man. You know, you get your airplane ticket, round trip paid for, a hotel, and get a ride to the TBV studios. Danny still hasn't decided whether he wants to perform from our very, spacious 48,000 square foot building with a rooftop on the Canelo Triple G night where we can pop bottles and all that great shit. Or do we go to the Wynn Casino, a very luxurious, prestigious casino?
No, you
who you'll just never know who's going to be walking.
You
in front
shot it
of the
down. We'll be here. We'll be here at our headquarters, TBV Studio.
Debbie Downer's back, guys.
Nah,
Debbie
Bro,
Downer.
You shot it down. We missed the window. Look it. Like
Debbie Downer.
You know, it's quite simple.
Bo, why is he lying?
17.
How long? How many days are in a 2 weeks?
10 days.
Okay. Why is he a fucking liar?
They said three.
You're a liar. Show
3 weeks.
Show me. Show me.
They said
exactly. More lies.
How can I show you what came out their mouth?
You were CC'd.
Bro, they said it out their mouth.
You're
meeting on Friday.
You're CC'd. It don't matter what they said.
So you
audio? It don't matter what they said. It's what they wrote. It's what they wrote. It's what they wrote.
We got a guess.
Ain't no guess.
We do.
He fired that guess, bro. He was supposed to guess 7.
It's 64.
He should be in the motherfucking green room. Nah, I'm joking. Shout out cash flow. Let's screen share. Danny's a hater, y'all. Just saying. He woke up on the wrong side of the bed today.
It's early.
I know. He ain't getting no coffee. Micah, can you make this man a coffee? Did you have coffee today? Now he's going to ignore me. Look, you can tell he got a little attitude.
No, you saw me throw my coffee cup away.
I drank a Red Bull.
Oh, shit. So you landed on the giveaway, and we told you about the giveaway. So do not miss this opportunity because we got a couple days left for the raffle, and we will pay your flight. We will pay your hotel. And if we can't afford to pay your Uber, we might get somebody to pick you up. Just saying. But we'll bring you out here, man. We'll bring you out. Look at Rob shaking my head, these two. It is Danny. With his frustrations.
It's me, champ.
He needs cigarettes in his life. Did you ever smoke cigarettes?
Never.
But that's nicotine in there, right? Or is it tobacco?
No, that's nicotine or tobacco. Yeah, I would never stoop so low in my life to smoke a square.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Usually people smoke squares.
Nah.
So that's a $5 super chat for my man AJ Smooth. We got the $5 super chat for my man L to the V. Also calling the Saga. His name, right? Slugger.
Is Blog Talk open as well?
It sure is. I see about three callers lit up.
So for those of you who want to call in, 45-569-5242, press one time.
Throw LV in that war tape. Hurry in there.
Let us know how you feel the pound for pound. It should look.
Yeah. Numbers on the top of the screen if you do want to call in. Next, we got a 1-9. Nope. We got a fat $10 one. From L.A. the God, and he says, can you pick that one up?
L.A. the God?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't...
All right.
Yeah, I definitely don't see it.
ESPN's list is who they think are the 10 best fighters. Just because you're undisputed doesn't mean you are top 10 fighters in people's eyes. We got to stop turning into the Hulk over subjective lists. Well, it's subjective if the criteria was different, but when you're undisputed, which is the highest achievement in boxing, remember, there's nothing greater than undisputed. But now they're going to make something because they continue to discredit undisputed ever since these young men have been becoming undisputed. It's pretty strange to me. But we do have another... screen share, or rather, super chat to the $10 super chat for the God. All right, the Canelo raffle chant. You know what it is. All you got to do now is send in another 65, and we'll put you in that raffle. And if you win, we'll fly you out, hotel, ride to the studio, fight with us over there, pay per view night with us.
I feel like people aren't talking enough because I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't impressed with the last Canelo undercard. Hey, did I this time?
Oh, yeah? Who's on the undercard this time?
Bam is coming.
Okay. Rodriguez.
Yep. Defending his title for the second time. And fairly quick turnaround, which I was also happy about because, you know, I think sometimes fighters criticize Canelo a lot for, you know, those quick turnarounds in the Yoderman fight. You know, but to me, it's like, I was happy because when's the last time we saw Canelo fight three times in 6 months? Also, for South to match with Manetti, just everybody to make that come to life, shout out to them because I now get to see a pretty fucking good card for my birthday weekend. So
Bam, but Bam's, you know, who's he fighting?
Yeah.
All right. So is a showcase, and then who else?
I'm going to pull up the full card now.
Okay.
One second.
I got R. Jonesy 199 super chat says, since we on the ranking, speak on Devin beefing with the ring. We definitely elaborated on that. R. Jonesy with another one. He says, chat asking who Devin beat, the man who beat the man. Yeah. I mean, again, it's because it's Devin Haney. Now all of a sudden, who he beat? I thought Cambosos was the emperor. What happened? KO Surge, Ontario, California, $2 super chat says, Haney is a crybaby. He hasn't beaten any elites yet. So Tio was an elite. George beat him. He's not elite, making Devin not elite. I get it. $2 super chat from R. Jonesy, three in a row. Shout out to you. How is we disputing undisputed? Laugh out loud. The hate is real. And that I agree on.
So on the Canelo Triple G 3 undercard, you got Bam Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, defending his title. He's
nice.
Co-main event. You got Akhmadov versus Gabe Rosado on the card.
Akhmadov. Oh, yes.
Versus Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
You got Emma Williams in there, and he in a regional fight for the WBA International.
Who are you fighting?
Guy named Conway.
Charles?
No, not Conwell. Conway.
First name.
I don't fucking know. It's a white guy.
All right.
Mark Castro on the card. Diego Pacheco on the card. So
the whole roster.
Yeah.
Yo, that's the good thing about Matchroom. They ain't got too many American fighters, so when they got to put on an American show, they all on that shit. For real. Like, fucking Diego Pacheco has fought on every matchroom show known to man, I think. Like, in America, for sure. And some overseas. He's been on Saudi. He's been in the UK.
Mexico.
Everywhere, bro.
Bro, Ammo, too. Ammo fought in...
Busy as fuck.
Yeah.
No, Ammo hasn't been as busy as Pacheco because of the incident, but...
No. But I'm saying he's fought international as well. Fucking Mark Castro made his pro debut on the Canelo co-main. Like, bro, who... And Keith Conley, his manager?
Castro?
Yeah.
I never knew. I don't think so. I never knew.
Who he with?
Castro? I mean, I only know him to be with Matchroom. That's the kid from Kansas City, right?
No. Bro, why do you keep thinking of somebody who ain't fought in like 5 years? No. He is from California.
Castro?
Yes. Him and Keyshawn Davis was like rivals in the Emmy.
I mean, I know Castro. He's this head movement guy. Hey, boo man. I know him, but I don't know him like that.
Nah, but... I'm like 90%
Danny
sure.
Danny is such a hater. You heard him just dismiss me? Nah.
Yeah,
nah.
Because I know exactly who you're thinking of. I'm just saying my guy ain't fought probably since like 2017, you know? So it's like, I don't know why you would be thinking of him, you know?
What's his name?
Bro, I don't know. Bro, he was a 2016 Olympic. I know exactly who you're talking about, bro. He like had a couple pro fights. Was on that Matchroom card in Kansas, and then he went, like, bare-knuckle boxing after that. But
what?
Yeah.
Damn.
And now he's, like, making a resurge, but I can't even remember his name off the top of my head. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's with – damn. Now you're going to piss me off because I can't remember.
Why?
Because how do you not know if he's with Keith or not?
Ain't with Keith.
Ain't you and Keith, like, best friends? You going to open up these phone lines, bro? Who we got? Open the phone lines up.
310.
That's LA.
Nah, that's hard. Hold on. Let me double check, though. Let me
that's
get my
LA
trusty
for
list.
Sure.
310. There ain't no fucking LA.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 310. Yeah, that's 310. What's the next? 5?
4.
30.
Oh, that's my man's in them. JP in Long Beach.
JP in Las Vegas.
Yeah, JP in Las Vegas. I gave him my handyman's number, man. He about to get some work done. Shout out to Caesar in Las Vegas who hooked me up. With Paul, I got Paul out here getting it done.
I need that handyman too, bro.
You do?
Yeah, I cut the dishwasher on and it like leaked from under the sink. Like it's a little leak. He might need to tighten something up, swap
Yo,
something out.
Yo, Floyd is
know.
Here, Micah, if you could do us a favor and get him at the Doubt Doubt.
And I'll let JP in right now.
Let me just double check that number to make sure. Because it might be or it might not be. But fuck it, yo, bring him in, man. I don't know what's going on.
Prior to the intermission, we got JP from Long Beach.
JP, Long Beach. Is it you?
Is it you?
This definitely is.
310?
Probably. Probably him. Yo, see if you can open this, bro. Call you, what do you know? Text it to you.
Yo, 310-430.
310. Are you giving it audio, Bo?
Yo, I'm here. Y'all got me?
Oh, I hear him.
I
only hear
yo.
On the phone line. Just one moment.
Yeah, you gotta hit the button.
Hello.
Y'all got me?
Yep.
Here we got you.
Y'all got me?
Yes, mm-hmm. We do.
All right. Yeah, man, I love this topic because as you know, Ness, I was a writer once upon a time. And as I got closer to the writing game, I started to see that the Douglas Fishers, the Kevin Iolis, and the fucking Steve Kims and the Michael Monteros, it was a time that I was trying to hook you and Montero up to kind of be on the Boxing Voice. But these guys are overtly racist and joke about it openly, but the problem is that these guys have the platforms to disseminate the information to the casual masses in boxing. They dictate the landscape and what boxing looks like to new oncomers in boxing, people who go to the giantest platform in the sporting world is ESPN, and these guys get to paint the fucking picture, and they're overtly racist. And that's been my problem for the longest. We've been bickering amongst fans and shit, and I've been saying my bone to pick is with the guys who got the pen, who get the pencil whip, who get to write the narratives. the guy sitting up atop at ESPN right now, Steve Kim, he's a blatant fucking racist. And Ben, and jokingly about it, Douglas Fisher, a fucking little Oreo punk. He's a punk, all right? And I've been mad about this shit for years, and nobody ever cared because it's just not in their interest. But these dudes get to write the narrative for what boxing looks like to a lot of people, and they've been fucking assholes for the longest. And that's basically all I have to say.
All right, then.
All right.
How you really feel?
You
ready?
Yeah.
I mean, both got to go give him the particulars. We got CYB LA.
Yo, let me know.
What up?
Yo. I look at this list and all these magazines. I say, look, we know how it is. We know how it's going to be. Charlo got enough money. Devin got enough money. A whole bunch of these fighters got enough money to start their own online magazines for boxing, make their own rankings. They got the fans. They got the followers to get more traffic to that magazine, to that online magazine that we ain't ever going to have. They could do it themselves. Matter of fact, you can hire me. I'll work with y'all to put the list together to keep the shit going. There's a whole bunch of people out here who can help y'all get that shit going. Let's do that shit instead of crying about these motherfuckers not liking us the way we need to be liked. She's just not that into you, but it's cool because I'm going to get laid anyway. Let's move on. There was some people in here who agree with me, didn't agree. That's cool. I think that Sean Porter is better than AJ as a welterweight than AJ is as a heavyweight. If you look at Sean Porter's resume, he has 4 losses. AJ has 3 losses. Now, but AJ never fought the Errol Spence, the Keith Thurman, or the Terrence Crawford of the division. If he fights Wilder and Fury, he's going to have 5 losses. So when you think about it, when it comes down to Terrence Crawford beating Porter, that right there should solidify him as a big win in the welterweight division to help his pound for pound, since we're giving Usyk so much credit for being AJ. AJ is not as good as we thought he was. He's been exposed, but he's good, but he's not the top. So that win is going to age very, very poorly for Usyk if AJ keeps fighting and fights them top 2 dogs, because you're going to see him carried out on a stretcher, and he's going to have more losses than Porter has, and he's going to lose in more of a devastating fashion to the top people, unlike Porter did, who got a split decision, majority decision, and only 1 KO loss. CYP out.
All right, ladies and gents, looks like we have our first guest of the day, Cash Flow Diaz, in the building. We'll be right back in a few moments. Thank you. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back as we are joined now by Cashflow Diaz in the building. What's going on, champ? How are you? How you feeling?
Bo. What did you do, everybody? I'm feeling good. You know, we're here on a Monday morning. You know, so yeah.
All right. Well, this is your camera. No need to turn over there. Oh, but yeah. We saw your last performance, obviously, on Top Rank, man. You look good.
Third round knockout.
Yeah, man. You continue to live up to the hype. You know, we've been watching you forever, it seems like, because of the 24/7 and, you know, Floyd Mayweather introducing you to the world. But now you're coming into your own, making a name for yourself, and definitely becoming one of those guys to look forward to on Top Rank, man. How are you feeling, and how do you feel about the way and the direction your career is headed?
I'm feeling great. You know, Top Rank, you know, the matchmakers, they're all, you know, they're putting me in the right direction. They're giving me great fights, you know, good fights to watch, good opponents. Not only does that make me, you know, better as a fighter, but it also, you know, just it shows people, you know, what I could really do. Instead of getting guys, you know, I could just go in there, two-piece them, and that's it. You know, they're out of there. So it definitely helps me as a fighter, and I feel like they're moving me fantastic right now.
Danny, who was that was with Albert Bell, right? I think you got some work with Albert Bell's boy.
Pop.
Yeah,
they
Pop.
Yeah. He fights
Javon Woodard.
Yeah, he fights this weekend in Toledo.
When we mentioned your name, he's like, oh, yeah, Cashflow, man, we got some work. So it sounded like you guys got some good work.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I bring. You know, I'm not a sparring partner. You know, that's why a lot of people like to spar me. And, you know, vice versa. If I get good work, you know, I'll give you the work. And that's just how it is.
Was that your first time sparring him, or did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I seen him before, like a couple weeks ago, actually. I always wondered, like, who he was with, because obviously, if he's in the Top Rank gym, you got to be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And later I found out he was with Albert Bell, but we never got to spar until then.
And how is it for you as a fighter and a competitor? Like, you see someone in and around your division, or are you automatically sizing them up? Like, who's this? How's he fight? Or do you wait until someone actually says, like, nah, that guy's in your division, or, oh, this might be a potential sparring partner?
I mean, I think I can speak for most fighters when I say we size him. I'm like, oh, you look about my weight, you know what? Then if you ask him how much he weighs or what he fights at, you know. But for most fighters, we size him up, and he does fight at my weight. But you know, work is work. You
for
know,
sure.
I don't care.
Now, big card September 23rd, Newark, New Jersey. You know, I'm excited. I'll be in the building, and you know, it's just a loaded stack card. Is there any excitement, any anxiety, any pressure for the fight?
Nah, I've had pressure all my life. I do get anxiety, like I want to step in the ring right now. As I get closer to the date, but I control that. You know, I don't get no nerves or nothing. There's initial nerves all the time. You know, I'd be lying if I wasn't. But I know the stage I'm fighting at, and I know what I signed up for. So I'm looking forward to the fight. I'm very excited. You know, I know I'm going to look 100% sharp. I'm in the right camp.
Did you know Daniel before you fought him in the last fight? Obviously not the Pedro.
Not personally. I heard about him. Everybody called him Danny. Mm-hmm. You know, I Shu even knew him. A lot of people knew him.
Who knew him?
Shu.
Okay, yeah. Shu knew him because of Andre Rozier, right?
Yeah. And he used to be at Cops and Kids, I believe, too.
Yep.
But a lot of people knew him that I knew. So I was like, you know, everybody got to know him, so he got to be good.
Did you watch tape before the fight?
All he had on Facebook was like him.
The fight in Florida?
Yeah. And it was like, like about a minute is all I got, like from the video. Mm-hmm. And then he blocked me, and I think he blocked my dad too.
What?
Yeah. Well, so we won't be able to see his fight.
Yeah.
You know, but they got all my fights on YouTube, so it's like.
Right, all your fights on ESPN.
You know, so it's whatever. I got to.
You know,
see
all your fights are watchable on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to see how to get my fights.
Champ, I gotta ask, because obviously we first saw you, like Ness said early, on the 24/7s along Floyd. You know, how old you were? What, maybe 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old when you start coming around?
Yeah, like I was around 5 and a half, I believe.
Okay.
When they put me on HBO.
Okay. Now I gotta ask you. You got the money team tattoo.
Right.
you know, that was before the top rank deal?
Yeah, that was way before the top rank.
Any regrets with that?
No. You know, I've always respected Floyd as a person, and you know, I'm with Top Rank now. We all know that, but you know, he gave me a big opportunity that not a lot of kids did, you know, have, especially at the age I was. You know, he put me on his cash flow, and here I am today, you know, on his cash flow. So he gave me a good platform, a great platform. So it's always positive vibes, and I don't regret nothing.
Yeah, man.
No.
And you're so young, you know, you might do business with Floyd in the future.
Yeah, who's saying we can't? You
exactly.
know, if the money's right, I mean, come on now.
Yo, I used to be heavily critical of Top Rank and you know, say that they give their fighters a diet, but for their up-and-coming fighters like you, I feel like they know how to develop. I mean, this is something that we hear in the sport a lot, that, you know, Top Rank develops stars. But I feel like they're taking a different approach with you. You're fighting a lot of undefeated fighters, fighters with only one loss. Like, that's not Top Rank normal.
Right.
Do you know why things are different with you? Is it you guys? Is it your dad? Is it Bruce Champler? Is it Todd?
Or is it you know, Jay Prince? Are they and Tom seeing something in you?
Yeah,
to match you against
them? You know, normally like a guy 4-3-0, he's fighting a dude who's like 3-6 losses.
Yeah,
like, you got a pretty decent record for 6-0. The people that have been on the other side are decent as themselves in terms of records. So, like, what do you, I guess, accredit that to?
I mean, it's everybody around the team. You know, it would be the matchmakers too, as well as, you know, my father and my manager, Jay Prince. I spoke to all of them, you know, because at some point I was wondering, you know, hey, they got me against, you know, I'm looking at these other guys.
Undefeated after undefeated.
Four out of the six guys I beat were undefeated, and the two that had the loss only had one loss.
Exactly.
They weren't, like, losing record. Yeah, I credit it to, like, you know, I would say just me and my dad for the most part. You know, they obviously, Jay Prince and all of them, they told me that, you know, they see something in me, you know. They know I could do it, and obviously they wouldn't match me up if they didn't think I could do it, you know. So they believe in me. The matchmakers believe in me. And if it gets and on top of that, it gets me closer to a world title. Fighting those guys, it gives me more points. So it doesn't matter to me.
Speaking of world title, how well do you know Gary Antoine Russell?
In
your division.
Yeah, I've met
That's
him.
That's Antonio.
I said Gary Antoine.
No, Antonio.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Correct. Thank you. Antonio Russell.
I've seen him about, like, I think, like, 3 times. I ain't going to lie. I don't know him that much. One time I wanted to spar him. That was when I was, like, 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
But I just never got the chance. I would still work with him. It doesn't matter. But I don't really know him that much, to be honest, you know.
You feel like that's a guy you might see? I know right now it's nowhere near possible
with
Top Rank in PBC.
Right.
You got to make a name. He's got to make a name. But from what you know of him and his family, do you think he'll be one of the guys that you'll see in the top?
And if not, who do you think will be that guy, like your big...
Your nemesis. Earl's Bud. Bud's Earl. Who's yours?
To be honest, I think Inoue.
Oh, wow.
I think at some point he's gonna have to move to 22. He's dominating 118. He's going to fight that...
Butler.
He's going to fight Butler. In my opinion, he's going to knock Butler out. And he's going to collect all the belts, you know, like he will. And then he'll move to 122 at some point. I'll still be at 122. Or if he's still at 118, I'll drop down to 118. But at some point, I know we're going to fight. I just know that for a fact. I've been wanting to fight him for a long time. Yeah, he's a good fighter. He's a great fighter. But I know as I develop, you know, my skills will get better. And I know
you know, that you think will be, you know, your fight down the line, then you know Top Rank loves Inoue. You know, the monster and all this shit. They come to you like cash flow. Like Bruce calls you like, Floyd, look, we got the Inoue fight for you. Title's on the line, 122. But you got to come to Japan, Tokyo Dome. We're going to do it for 50,000. But you have to come over there. What you doing?
I want to go over there anywho.
And you have to
stamps
walk.
Stamps on the passport, baby. Mm-hmm.
And you have to walk out first.
I'm down. I would love to go over there. You know,
you really love to travel, right?
I love to travel. And especially Japanese food and that just all around that. A heritage, I love that. I would love to go over there.
I was going
to
say, man, you're one of the few fighters that I've seen, and which is crazy because you're very young as well, but you're one of the few fighters I've seen that, goes out of their way to travel to support, like, you know, your friends in the sport. So you'll go to wherever they may be fighting to support them. Why is that so important to you?
I feel like it just shows the love, you know. And they know I could watch on, you know, ESPN or whatever platform they're on. But, I've known them for such a long time. I mean, I look, you know, very old or whatever. I'm only 19, but I've been in the sport for a very long time. And in that time, I make a lot of friends. So I just like to show that extra
support. You also
support.
Know what matters, man.
Yeah, I know what matters. So I like to show that extra support. You know, if I could be there, I'll be there.
That's right. Because, you know, I could imagine fighting, turn to the side, see my friend there. It's going to make me feel better. So who have you invested your time to go and see physically in person?
Well, for the most part, it's been I don't know if you know him, is Dorian Khan.
Dorian Khan.
They call him Jay. Everybody calls him Jay.
Yeah, I know you.
Yeah, Jay.
About.
He's from he's actually in Mayweather's promotions, and I actually just came from Florida because he went to go fight out there. My dad was in his corner, so I went to go over there, and I didn't have to.
Was he on the Kenny Sims card?
Yeah, he was on the exact card. Yep. Nice. I went twice to Florida for him.
Okay.
You know, I had no business in Florida.
Yeah.
You know?
How'd you like that humidity? I was just out there last week.
Now, the Kenny Sims card, it wasn't as humid as I expected.
Mm-hmm.
The one before that, he fought in like that Floyd and Logan Paul thing.
Yeah, and Miami.
That one was humid. I walked outside the airport and I was like, oh my God, I can't breathe.
I'm not, Ness. I mean, you might be more familiar. Is Orlando typically humid though? Because I've only been in the winter.
That's a keen question, but okay. Because like Orlando's literally
in the middle,
15 minutes less, 15 minutes short of 3 hours for me from where I live in Florida. So I don't even fuck around.
Yeah, I've only been in the winter time. So because I know I was in Miami.
Bro, my lady was just saying that. Oh, you need to take your daughter to
Disney.
And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, every kid deserves. I'm like, that's some shit that they put on commercials. No, every kid don't deserve to go to Disney because every parent don't deserve to be in a goddamn line. So I ain't waiting in no line.
No, that's how you got to pay to play.
What you mean? The easy passes and all? Yeah. Right. Everybody pays to play. The lines still got lines.
Nah. Let me tell you, the first time I went to Disney World, bro, it was basically like a gifted trip. Bro, they paid for everything. So it was like, no, man, we couldn't straight to the line. The second time I went, long at 2 hour lines.
You been to Disney?
I've been to Disneyland. And, you know, the real ones in Florida.
Yeah, the real ones in Florida.
I was going to go to that one actually, but the last time I went there, but I was like, not this. I wanted to actually be like with my family. We all go out for like a week.
Yeah.
No vacation needed.
Yeah, make
you know,
a
no boxing. Just everybody go enjoy themselves. So that's in the future.
Do you feel like if you have a child, he has to go to Disneyland?
You know what? No.
Or World, whatever the real name is.
No. I mean, to be honest, I had a lot of great memories. My dad used to take me a lot when he was working a lot. And we were invested in the boxing, but we were just having fun as a family a lot. And we would go to Universal all the time. And honestly, that played a key part in, you know, just my childhood. Because as a fighter and as an athlete, I didn't have much of a childhood. I could say that for most fighters.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Universal was just, it was dope. It's the thought that counts, you know. Just
for sure.
Taking us out there. And now you don't have to go all the time, but we had this, like, year pass thing.
Okay.
So we would go, like.
As much
like,
as you
yeah,
could.
Like every other week.
Season passes.
Yeah. So when we stopped with that one, when that one ended, that's kind of when we stopped.
Yo, I wonder, with Top Rank and their ESPN deal, why has Disney, because obviously they're, you know, it's under the Disney family, why have they never approached the boxing champion? Like, you know how for the Super Bowl, every fucking Super Bowl, it's like the winning team, they're literally paid to say, oh, so what do you want to do now?
Oh, go to Disney World.
Yeah, we're going to Disney. And I wonder why they've never done
that
with
so
boxing.
That's so true. That stopped, though. I wonder if
that
was marketing.
Of course that was marketing, bro. Who the fuck, what grown-ass man is in a rush to go to Disney? I just want a Super Bowl. I'm trying to go see some ass shake. I'm trying to go pop bottles. I ain't trying to go.
Maybe like my man you want to go with the family. What
so
are you talking about?
Every year the winner wants to go with the family? Every year.
Bro, all those games, you just want to be with the family.
And every year you want to make sure to publicize that on TV.
But isn't it what's the other slogan they got? Like the Magical Kingdom or some shit like that?
Yeah, bro, that's the castle, bro. Magic Kingdom, bro.
Yo, I got questions from San Antonio. James Valdez, he says, and Noah Inoue versus Gary Antoine Russell, if they fought, who would win and how?
One's a 18-pounder, one's a 40-pounder, so.
Antonio. I keep saying Antoine, but it says Antonio. Okay. I'm reading it wrong. Fucking hell.
Yeah, that'd be a great fight, actually. We all know Russell is fast. You know, he got some speed on him. So, I don't know, man. I think Inoue still beats him. You know, I think, but
Russell got 12 knockouts.
Yeah, but he may have problems just with Russell's speed. You know, I haven't seen him fight somebody similar to him yet. I don't believe. I'm gonna have to go look back at it. But I think Inoue will take that.
Next one is from Rue in New Orleans, who says, where do you see yourself this time next year?
Man, I see myself for sure like with one of those junior belts, you know, like a WBC youth belt or you know, but whatever, those WBO international ones. I see myself at least with one or two of those and being ranked at least top 10 and whatever respected, you know, organization it's under. So for sure, at least that. And if not, very close to a world championship. Very close.
James Prince is your manager, right?
Yes, sir.
Man, credit to Prince. You got 3 fights 2021, and you already got 3 fights 2022 with the fight lined up for September on the Shakur undercard.
Right. Yeah, and I would have had more, just had a couple months of, like, just not fighting. You know, I just had to take care of some stuff. But once I got that under, you know, I would have had at least probably like 8 fights, 9 fights by now.
Damn.
You know, because they were going to have me fight August. I was talking to the matchmaker at breakfast for my last fight when I fought Pedro. He was saying, you know, when you want to go again? He was like, you want to go again in August? So we're like, hold on. First, I had to bury my grandfather.
Yeah.
Because he just passed away. Yeah, thank you. He passed away the same day as when I fought.
I remember. Yes. You dedicated.
Yeah, when I fought Danny, he passed away the same day. So he was supposed to actually be there for the fight, you know, and then it ended up working out like that. But I know he was still there watching. But so he hit me up and he told me, you know, Chef, if I want to fight August, tell him, let's wait. It's due next month. It's due a month after that. And he told me Shakur. I knew Shakur was fighting, but you know, I'm not begging for it to be on any card. But if he puts me on a great card, I'll appreciate that. So he was telling me about the Shakur one, and I was like, he's like, you want to be in that? I was like, hell yeah. Put me in that.
It's a lot of good names on that card. Obviously, you know, you get the opportunity, Jahad Tucker, Shushu Carrington, Keyshawn Davis.
A lot of attention.
Yeah,
bro.
I was going to say there's going to be, I feel like, a competition.
The
you
best
know,
performance of the night.
Who's going to do the best for sure?
Right, because I know a lot of you guys are very close. Obviously, Shakur is under Jay as well. Shushu's out here, you know, in camp. So I know it's going to be kind of competitive with you guys. You think you're going to take it or do you think that one of the other guys is going to step up?
Of course. You know, everybody's there to step up to the plate that day. I know we're all going to perform great. But I bring my own, you know, pizzazz with me, so to say. You know, I got my own charisma, my own me. So I feel like that alone could, you know, shut out the night. Hey, but we'll see, man. Everybody's sharp. Everybody, we're getting better. And like you said, the same way you said it, I know we're all looking at it like that. Who's going to do the best? So you're going to have to find out.
I want to ask you, obviously, we're talking pound for pound. I don't know if you've seen that Devin Haney's been going back and forth with Ring Magazine lead writer Doug Fisher. And obviously, as a young fighter yourself, I kind of want to get your perspective on boxing. What would you feel is the ultimate accomplishment Floyd Cashflow Diaz can accomplish in this sport?
Honestly, I would say Undisputed. I know it's like a trend now, and now everybody's kind of going Undisputed.
Yeah.
But I feel like going Undisputed is great. You know, that's you got all the belts in the division. You're like God in that weight class, bro. You know?
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think.
You're nice, you know, and you got all the belts in the division. So
now, why do you believe that? Like, what's made you believe Undisputed is the highest accolade or achievement in boxing?
Because you got to think of it like this. They got like 20 belts now, you know, and, you know, getting all those belts, you know, WBO, WBA, you know, IBF.
WBC.
Mm-hmm. Getting all those. IBO is not, they kind of took that out, right?
Like, yeah, IBO is the fifth kind of stepchild right now.
Okay. And then Ring Magazine doesn't count, but it's like, you got it.
Yeah. Ring Magazine means you're the man.
Okay.
If you've been awarded the belt, usually the one and two have fought or the one and three in the division, which makes you the man in the division.
Okay, so let's say you got all those belts. Man, that's especially as times get better and better, everybody gets better and better and better. You know, back in the day, those fighters, you know, to us now, we're like, these guys suck, you know, because every kids nowadays are like nine switching, you know, boxing real good. So it's getting a belt, especially say when you're in mid-20s or early 30s or whatever, and getting Undisputed, I feel like, I don't know, that's the best.
Absolutely.
I think just like other sports, to what you were saying, you know, the game has a, you know, what's the fucking
changed,
word?
Evolved?
Yeah, evolved. That was the word I'm looking for. The game has evolved, like they said, about basketball players. Like, back in the day, you didn't have 6'5", 6'6", point guards, you know, like.
Well, back in the day, we didn't have 275-pound fucking heavyweights either. You know, Fury, Wilder, these guys.
People now.
Yeah, these guys are, like, huge. So the reason I asked that is because, obviously, Devin Haney was left off of the Ring Magazine, pound for pound, but he is the Ring Magazine
champion.
Lineal champion. Lineal usually means the man that beat the man. Tio beat the man in Vasil. Cambosos beat the man that beat the man in Tio. Devin beat the man that beat the man that beat the man in Cambosos, but he was left off the list. Obviously, this is something you're going to have to deal with, being in this generation
right,
where people like myself, we get a little platform, we have a little following, and we get to tell you what you did right or wrong and think we know more than you. So I just wanted to get your thoughts, man, on how would you deal with writers, podcasters, YouTubers, telling you, well, you're not as great as you are. It doesn't matter if you have this belt. This man is still better than you. Like, how are you going to deal with these critics?
Well, I mean, that's their job, you know, and you got to respect that at the end of the day. But everybody can say whatever they want. I mean, come on, America, you mm-hmm. know. But me, I wouldn't care. If I got the belt, I'd be like, I got the belt. Say whatever the hell you want. I got the belt, you know.
But what about the list that represents that's supposed to
have
represent?
Have you seen
the list is supposed to represent that you have that belt,
right.
But instead they got Loma on the list
and
who doesn't have any belts and no Devin on the list.
Yeah, so not just do they have Loma top 10 pound for pound, but he's not even the top-ranked lightweight. So how is he top 10 in the world, but he's not even top 2 in the division according to your same rankings? And then, I don't know if you saw, but it was literally a back and forth. Because, you know, Devin's like,
right.
Well, shit, if you ain't got me in the rankings, then y'all not going to see me with the belt, you know, for this next fight. And then they're like, well, mail it back to us. And then it was like literally a back and forth on Twitter.
Mail it back to us.
I thought that was crazy.
That is crazy. I'm learning more about the story as y'all speak. So,
that is
kind of crazy talking about, you know, you're not going to put me in the rankings. I got the damn belt and you know, you're not giving me my credit in the organization. I'm winning it, you know, and I'd get a little tight too. I ain't gonna lie.
Hold on. It gets better because Doug Fisher tells Devin to mail it back to his champ. Devin replies, no problem. DM me the address and I'll have it sent out, brother. So then, In another tweet, Devin said, and to be clear, I'm not obligated to wear the Ring Magazine belt. If I earned it, then I earned it. Whether I wear it or not. So to ask for it back just shows I never wanted me to have it in the first place. Doug Fisher replies, he said, you said you can keep it. Okay, then let me keep it. So
So then Devin replies, come get it. And then Doug Fisher replies to that. He says, are you in Las Vegas right now?
Nah. He wants to smoke, bro. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, why talk like that when in actuality...
I deserve to have the belt. I got the belt. What the...
It just don't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You know, but just, you know, wanted to get your thoughts because Jermell Charlo went through this. He's also not on the list, bro. He's also undisputed.
It's a lot of politics.
He's on rings, just not he's not on ESPN. But yeah. Devin's not on either. It's pretty weird.
It's crazy. It's politics, man. They, you know, come on, everybody wants a guy that, you know, there's somebody up there that wants somebody to be in the right position or to be, to win that belt and say that doesn't happen. You know, of course, you know.
Bro, then they start trolling. Then they go on Twitter like other other Ring Magazine writers, and they were like trolling. They're like, every morning we have a meeting on how great Vasyl Lomachenko is and how we should move him up the pound-for-pound rankings. Then they posted a picture with him. They're like, oh, my God, look at that chiseled jawline. We should.
It
just
was just unprofessional.
Yeah, they're like.
Because, like, you know, it's one thing to – your work is your work. If you're a writer, you're a writer. You wrote that. You wrote that. Stand
right
by it. If Devin contests and says, yo, how I'm not on the list? I'm the Ring Magazine champ. Give him your reasons. But to troll a champ
– yeah, it's
that's crazy.
That's kind of dumb.
I mean, I ain't going from when I first started, and I got like 11 years now. I use the word bum because I ain't know no better.
Hmm.
Got in that ring. I realized even a bum would whip my ass. So these other writers need to, you know, a job. Like, just sometimes the work before the fight, I feel, is harder than the actual fight.
And for the most part, that's what it should be. If you ain't doing it like that, then you're doing it wrong, you know. The fight shouldn't be the hardest part, you know, like for me, is camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not cash flow right now. It's a camp flow.
Mm.
You know, I'm in camp right now. So, you know, that part I would say is the hardest. You know, you can ask anybody that trains really hard. You know, training is just that's the hard part right there.
So, did you watch the big heavyweight fight with Usyk and AJ?
No, I did not.
Oh wow, you're not into heavyweights, huh?
No, I mean I am. I just didn't get a chance to watch it. Mm. I didn't.
But not interested in that division either. Then.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of weird stuff that's going on in that division. You know, I feel like they should have been made that Tyson Fury and AJ fight when it was popping.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been like the craziest.
Word.
Yeah, it would have been the craziest fight ever. Bro.
No, I definitely agree.
I don't know. It's just in Usyk's now, and he's originally, you know,
cruiserweight.
You know, and
beat him in the amateur.
I didn't know that. But I know he was a middleweight and all that. So he's obviously slowly coming up. But when is it too much? You know, obviously he's boxing great. You know, he's a southpaw. He's, you know, on some Loma vibes, but just bigger. I don't know. That division
on some
weird
Loma vibes. Everybody yeah calls him Big Loma. You think he beats Fury or does Fury?
Nah. Fury could box. That man can box, and for his size and weight, he can move. I don't think Usyk's gonna beat him. You got people like Deontay Wilder that had like freaking bricks in his hand, and he had that one punch equalizer, and he still couldn't beat him like that. So
you've been in the ring with Fury, right? Not in the ring sparring, but like in the gym with him.
No.
Oh no,
I haven't met him yet.
What?
Not yet. Yeah, he's been.
You're
at top
always
rank
in the gym.
Yeah, but when he's at top rank, like
they shut it down.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be like, you can't come in.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, even for you.
No, I mean, I probably can't come in, but. You know, I don't want to impose.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Don't
fuck
want me
that, man. You cash flow. Get up in there, get your picture and shit.
I do
want
to see him, though.
Hell
well,
yeah.
Shit, if you
the
got
minute you said footwork, I was going to say, yo, because I get a lot of shit on this show because I said Fury's the closest thing to Muhammad Ali.
He got great footwork.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know what people.
They don't like it, though, because he's white, Muhammad Ali's black. I guess you can't cross that line. But let me tell you, that man moves like
and
Muhammad Ali.
Well, for his frame, box. 7 foot, what is he like?
He's like 6'9", I think, right?
He's like 6'9".
Damn near 7 foot and can move like that and got head movement footwork. Come on, that's crazy. You got to give the man respect.
And then to get up from those fucking knockdowns that Wilder.
Now, the first one, when Wilder, I was in a sauna. I was actually fighting for USA Nationals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a sauna just chilling and I'm watching the fight. And then, boom, he gets, what was it, like the 11th round?
12th, yeah.
12th. He got clipped. And I was like, ah, he's done. He looked dead. And then he just opened. The referee could have could have stopped it right then and
hell
there.
Yeah.
Nobody
hell
would have got mad.
No one.
His eyes were closed. Not so. I mean,
I wonder,
he was gone.
Oh man, I wonder what the world would have been like if the ref would have waved that off.
It would have been
because you know Wilder's confidence,
right? Was
obviously
crazy.
It switched after that. It's like, damn, this dude got up. You know what I'm saying? No one's ever gotten up. So probably he mentally, he was going through shit in his head. Like, oh shit, this guy got up. Like,
right.
I got to put him back down.
Let me tell you, I was there at that fight, bro. That fight and then the fucking Richard Torres was the only two times I thought the guy was dead. Mm. I swear to God.
Oh,
the
last one, Richard
that
Torres?
That was bad, bro.
Yeah, that guy was like face planted on the floor.
Bro, but I don't know how Fury did it. Like, I vividly remember, like, the feeling I felt in my heart when Fury went down. I thought he killed him. That's how vicious it was. I'm not being funny. I legitimately thought he killed the way that shit was vicious.
Mm.
And
I
don't know.
Him clean.
Yeah, and I was inside, you know, so I'm in the atmosphere. I'm in the moment. I don't know if I'm sure he played a part in it. But yo, I thought he hit that, man.
But Fury's so good. If you look at that third fight when Wilder straight right, Fury's going down, but he's conscious. You can see, like, his body is no longer working, but he's still trying to reach Wilder. Like, after that straight right, the shook his heart. That slow motion shot is insane. But
I think there's footage of fuck, help me out here. I'm having a brain fart. Fury's trainer, fuck. Sugar Hill.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure. I remember hearing it somewhere. Where Sugar Hill was saying that after that third fight, that Fury said that he wasn't, like, fully there because of that knockdown, that he got concussed from that knockdown, that was the most brutal fight that he had been.
He has crazy recovery time, bro, because normal people that got hit by Wilder, they can't get their senses back. My man could just shake it off. Bro, that first fight, he arguably evened the round up. You know what I'm saying? He started fighting back in that 12th round in the first fight. And then even in that third fight, you know, he got put down from that devastating right. And somehow he got up and was able to fucking keep doing what he was doing.
That man got it. You got ass through. But he got a chin. He got a chin.
You know what's crazy?
That recovery, bro. You on some Wolverine shit.
I won't say who. There was another boxing media member with. I was up, you know, I guess leading up to that fight, like that day, and we're at the MGM. That fight, the third fight was at the T-Mobile. We're at the MGM, and they're like, "Bro, they're like, both guys are going down tonight." And I'm like, "What do you mean?"
Damn, he should have paid.
No, bro, a whole fucking rack that motherfucker bet. A whole fucking rack that motherfucker bet. Oh my God, that broke my heart because he's like, "Bro, I'm not saying I had $1,000 to bet, right?" And I
even if I had one, I don't got balls.
Yeah, I would. Put $1,000.
I don't know how I would make the guy's bets.
Had I won $20, that $20 would give me a couple hundred.
Yeah.
I was fucking
grand.
Bro, but I take my hat off because we had
he must have been jumping up and down.
Bro, we had a phenomenal dinner that night. After the fight, we had a
shout out to him, butch dinner. You ain't had nothing to do with that. Young Tigre in San Antonio as well. So who would you rather co-main a pay-per-view with? Wilder, Crawford, or Canelo?
Ooh, Wilder. Say it again.
Wilder, Crawford, or Canelo.
I would do Canelo. I think that would be great for me. You know,
I didn't like that one. Canelo over Fury.
Yeah.
Canelo over Fury.
Oh wait.
I'm saying, would you rather be on a Canelo co-main or Fury co-main?
Damn, because that would be big, too. What do you fight at last, like the Wembley Stadium?
Well, the rumor is Fury's fighting February, top-ranked card versus Usyk, undisputed.
Super Bowl weekend.
No, that does pose – that is a better opportunity. If it's that card, it'd be Fury. Canelo always brings the people. Come
and
on,
Canelo does
and
bring
I,
them out.
And I understand it's a money thing, and that's why they're going to Saudi with it or to the Middle East with it, regardless. Bro, but Matchroom did it the 2020, the year of the pandemic, like a month before the pandemic started, where they had that card in Miami when the Super Bowl, the same weekend of the Super Bowl in Miami.
That was Canelo.
No, bro, that was fucking Boo Boo and somebody, bro.
Oh.
And I think
Devin
No. I think maybe Jake fought on that card too.
Oh, a YouTuber.
Yeah, but it was Boo Boo was on that
card.
That's
why though. Jake was the draw.
Yeah,
draw.
But what I'm saying is, the Super Bowl is the biggest sporting event of the fucking year. Why not go to the city where they're doing it and hold a card? Big or small, it don't matter because look,
money might be economic.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Big or small, look, they did fucking Michaela Mayer against Hamadouche the night before Canelo fought Caleb Plant, right? Was it Caleb Plant that I want to say the night before? Bro, they had so much fucking media there. It was sold out. Like, they couldn't – people I knew were trying to get tickets. Why? Because, oh, we're already in town.
Yeah,
it's something to do.
Yeah, it's something to do, bro. You gotta have something
like
for the people.
When Eddie did it, the Super Bowl's on Sunday. Eddie did that card on a Thursday.
Hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Oh, okay, so I thought you were speaking like saying it like it should happen that like kind of the same day type of.
No. Fuck no. Just the same city.
Oh.
I'm saying just the same city because
so like the week of. Or
yes,
like,
the weekend of.
Okay.
Do it that Friday. Maybe Saturday is the game is Sunday. Maybe Saturday is too close if you want to with the Friday. But bro, the Super Bowl. You know how many people come?
They're already there.
They're
yeah,
already
they,
there. They're already there. It's just something to do. It was the same thing. I remember Mayweather the promotions did a card at Sam's Town the night before Canelo fought
Kovalev. They used to use Sam's Town so much.
Bro, the night before Canelo fought Kovalev, and I think Richardson Hitchens might have been like main event. Bro, everybody and their motherfucking mother was in the building. Tank was in the building. AB was in the building. Devin was in the building. Shakur was in. Everybody was in the building, all the media, because it's like, well, we're already in town. We might as well.
Might
as well go. So that's what I'm saying. I hope that. You know, people take advantage. Eddie did it. I would like to see other promoters do it. Think of even if how big would that be, you know, for you to have option now we got random NFL players, random stars just coming just because we're here.
Right.
You know, that's made closer, man.
That is, you know, in the boxing game now, obviously if you put asses on seats, you make the money. So if you start knowing those guys, those celebrities, and they bring their own people and so and such, that
gonna,
brings money.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's just gonna help you grow. And just, like now we talk about everything. Like we're talking Errol Spencer and his Crawford fight because that's something that's brewing recently, right? Something that I want to see. Well, it's been rumored dates and shit. So it's like, oh shit. Well, Crawford's a Packers fan. Errol's from Dallas. Well, they played the week before. That's promotion opportunity. Like we look at any little way that we can use the networks, use other sports to be able to help because that's what it's about, you know? Finding ways to help grow and help, you know, elevate the sport. So I think
I have more questions for him.
Go ahead.
Brandon in Houston, if you're able to add one of these fighters' attributes to your own game moving forward, which would you choose, Tank Power or Gennady Golovkin's chin?
Tank's power, for sure. I mean, I feel like me, myself, I'm saying just like, all right, I feel like I already have, I've sparred many world champions and I've, you know, you get clipped. You know, I've been nice. You know, I get clipped. I'm not fighting, you know, bozos. You know, and even as I'm not a grown man yet, I feel like I'd rather take Tank's power because having that type of power is
game changer.
It's ridiculous because you don't. What did Deontay say? He's like, you got to be perfect the whole fight. I got to be perfect for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
That type of power, not everybody has, is gifted to you. So
that's right.
That
look,
power. Be
I'm excited for his comeback. He's training in the UFC center. Have you noticed?
Well, he
Wilder.
Left.
He's out here.
Yeah.
Apex.
Yeah.
He was training out here.
Yeah. He's got
a
press conference actually tomorrow. I mean Tuesday. Yeah, tomorrow.
So he's not here in Vegas anymore.
No, he was here last week.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be in Brooklyn tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Deontay, I feel like Deontay's going to do good, you know. But you see where his mind's at, you know, from all those Fury. Pretty sure Fury, you know, haunts him in his dreams.
Mm.
So we'll see. It's hopefully that power that is just still stay there. I think the reason the power was there for the most part was his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think that he took enough time out of the ring
to recover
mentally though. You get what
yeah,
I'm
to
saying?
Know if this is what he wants. I mean,
right.
He's rich.
Yeah.
Like you don't
gotta
do
it. You don't
gotta
do it no more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're doing it because you still want something. You
more
want something from this sport. You want
and
to accomplish something or show someone something.
And I'm sure his dollars get him a lot more in Alabama. You know.
Oh fuck yeah.
You know, I know you've been down to
no,
his house.
No, it's like being in Florida, bro. Like your dollar, you know. you get more square footage in Alabama for your doctor.
I mean, you say he got a, don't he got like a roller coaster at his house?
He definitely got from the second floor a roller coaster that takes you to his boat or his, he's got one of those floating, two floor floating boat dock houses. Oh. With the jet skis under and then like a whole party at the top.
He's straight, you know.
No, he's fucking.
So he's definitely, he
bro,
wants to do it for
straight,
something.
Bro. He's fucking the Mason-Dixie line. You got to worry about shit. For real. I got Big Casual that says, what's up, champ? Fulton had a close, tough unification fight with Figueroa. Who did you have winning that fight? And do you think Fulton is currently the best at 122?
So Figueroa, I did watch that fight. I feel like Figueroa, you know, I think he did put more points than what Fulton did. Fulton did have some clean shots. It depends on what you were looking for that day and what type of judge you are. But I feel like I would have had Figueroa winning that fight. But I feel like eventually and currently I could be the best at 122. So I wouldn't say he's the best, but I'd say he's the
most proven, maybe?
Most proven, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say that, yeah. That's actually a perfect word. You know, he beat Angelo Leo. And you know, at his own game, so to say, you know, by sitting in the pocket more and fighting on the inside. So he's definitely proven himself. I actually got a chance to meet him in where were we at? Oh yeah, for the Danny Garcia fight.
Mm.
And because I was sitting second row, he was like a little bit more down to the left. He was with Boots. I was like, hey, can we take a picture? I was like, let's take a picture, champ.
He knew who you was.
Yeah. My dad was like you know this kid, you know, whatever. And he was like, yeah, I know. I see him. I'm watching him. I was like, all right, for sure. For sure.
Was you sizing him up?
Yeah, that's what main reason I took a picture. Yeah, I'll probably fight the motherfucker. So,
I love it.
I
love it.
But, I mean, it's...
Does
know,
he look tall, thick for
nah,
the division?
His body's filled in, like how a man body should look, mm-hmm. You know. You see Shakur over the years, he's filled in a lot. If you look at him from when he's a kid, look like me, skinny, you know. I look bigger just because I got muscles, but I'm not filled in yet. When I get filled in, then that's when I know it's over for everybody.
He said for everybody. Mm.
Nice.
Champ, I got to ask you, you know, Peru has not had a, you know,
world champ?
Known history of boxing. They, you know, definitely have had some world champions, but, you know, being a Peruvian and Mexican American and everything, how important is it for you to be able to put your people on the map, bring them a world title? And would you like to one day fight out there?
That's actually like the goal, you know, like for sure. I'm gonna get me like huge ass, like mansion in Peru, like some like
so
island.
You visit, you go back.
No, I'm gonna go. So
you never been,
I've never
there.
Been there.
Oh wow. So yeah. How do you know you're gonna want to live there?
I'm not that like I'm gonna live there, but it's like a house, like
to have
yeah,
vacation
to have.
Home.
Yeah, yeah,
it's,
for
it's
sure.
One of my home countries, so
yeah.
Why not? You know,
yeah,
I'm pretty
yeah,
sure
yeah.
It ain't that expensive. I checked the economy over there. You know?
Nah, it ain't.
And it, you know, I can have you know a good size, you know, good bang
mm-hmm.
for my buck. So, but I that's why I'm really pushing that, you know, to Peruvian. I really truly do want to win a world champion, because there's a lot of great Mexican fighters. There's a lot of great Mexican world champions, you know. Obviously, you can't have to fight that I'm Mexican. And I feel like I still got I got Mexican in me when I'm boxing.
When you're fighting,
sometimes
for sure.
I want to exchange a little, but for sure, I think that Peruvian, I could be like the, what do you call it? What's his name? I could be like the hands of stone, but for like, you see how
for Peru.
Yeah, you see how he was for his country, same
yeah.
way for me. Like, you know, come on, I could put Peru on the map. Not many, you know, when people say, when I say I'm Peruvian, people are like, most people are like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know? What's a Peruvian?
Which is funny because I love your food. I know that's cheap, like a cheap, oh, Peruvians are cool, it's to talk about the food. But I've been eating Peruvian food for so many years. I hate that I left the New Jersey area.
Right.
Because there were so many Peruvian restaurants.
They have Peru
out
Square.
Here.
In New Jersey, they have a place called Peru Square. And that's every time I go to New York,
bro,
straight over
Lomo
there.
Salteado is one of my favorite fucking place. Yeah. Arroz chaufa, mixto with like chicken and steak, one of my favorite shit. And
stuff.
I love Peruvian food, but out here they only got like Peru chicken, which
isn't
bad.
They got Peru chicken.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
But
I
want some authentic
Yeah, like,
you know, that's a chain. Even though I think that man might own them all. Like, shout out to him. I'm gonna talk to him next time he's in there because
I think he does because you know, we talk to him a lot. I've known him for a lot. That's what I'm trying to get. You know?
Yeah, because he looks like a normal dude with his wife. And they got a couple of Peru chickens out here, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no, you put me on. I had never had Peruvian food before. I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I never in my life even thought to, like, look up a Peruvian dish.
Let me go try Peruvian
food. Like, never
amazing.
Even knew what a Peruvian dish, like, you know, there's other cultures and dishes that I may have not tried it, but at least I know, man. Shit, we was going like once a week before we got sponsored by this meal prep company,
yeah,
bro. We was going
Booty Fit, right?
Yes.
I actually
they
go
just
there.
Deliver for us right
yeah,
now. That's
I actually
why they
go
left.
There. I actually go there. Like when I get my meal preps, I get my meal like for like 2 weeks. Cause obviously I'm not rich, you know what I mean. But from what I can do, I for like at least 2 or 3 weeks for the rest of my camp, I eat their meal preps.
Bro.
Yeah, I know.
Use our discount code. TBV. And I'm going to hook you up with him, man. For I'm going to hook you up with we hooked up Lonnie B. Andres Cortez does his camps with them.
Oh,
you know,
I saw that.
Yeah,
saw
he'll
that.
Work something out with you. So, like, you know.
For sure. I've been going, you know, every camp. Because except for that one camp, I had a
that's
chef.
That's so crazy. Because
I had a chef. Mm-hmm. But, you know, cause that's why I was with Jay Prince. We were in I was with Big Baby, Efe, and Josh Greer, and we were all just, you know, in the house, which was great.
Yeah.
We were just in the house, and then we had a chef. It was all ready for us.
In Houston or out here?
No, it was out here.
Okay.
Because I think Efe had a fight at that time, but it got canceled.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it was COVID, like COVID reasons.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Bro.
You know?
Man, I don't have your number. They got it. Or I would forward you their number, the owner's number right now. But after the show, definitely hook you up.
Sure.
Because they're amazing, bro. And they just added a couple new dishes. I don't know if you tried it.
Yeah, I know.
Something with spinach now.
I always get the salmon. Like, I like fish in general.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
no, and you're bro, in camp. It's,
yeah,
fish is
great.
Is better.
Bro, even shit, today I brought me the shrump tacos for lunch. Bro,
yeah,
one fucking taco has like 10 shrump on it.
Bro, the Loco Moco.
I love
bro,
that
fucking
one.
Fire. I kill it, bro. I kill it. Yo, every time I always
I
get
love
that.
The Loco Moco. Yeah, nah, shout out to Foodie Fit, man. I am very happy to have met them, and they cook well. The Thai basil is my favorite because
yeah,
it got like that lemon.
Yeah, I love that Thai
I don't
basil
I tried
turkey.
That one yet.
Yeah, it's a ground
turkey. Thai
yeah,
basil
yeah,
turkey.
It's Thai basil turkey. So it's a ground turkey. You got your green beans and rice.
Right.
But
yo,
bro,
and the green beans, I'm telling you, I know people think I'm lying because it's like, oh, we're sponsored, but that's the beauty of them is like, this is genuine.
Right.
Like the green beans have so much snap. When you bite into that,
yeah,
you hear it in
crunch.
Your ear, like
mm-hmm.
snap. And it's like none of the food is frozen. Like my foods right now, they brought me only for 3 days fresh food. You know, never frozen. I love them, man. Shout out to Foodie Fit. But I got one more for you.
Yeah.
Jelen Gobar says, how do you feel now that more boxers are speaking about their emotions and hardships? Do you feel as though you should hold it in and seek professional help? Or you find it better that the public knows? For example, Brony, Ryan, Danny, on your grandfather, by the way.
Thank you.
How would you handle
that? That's a big topic. Me personally, I mean, you could do whatever you feel like. You know, if like, see, like, in Danny's position, he was holding in so long. You know, it had to come out.
Yeah.
And it had to come out that day. You know, mental health's a real thing. You know, we not only are we boxers, but remember, we got normal lives and we got other things to think about as well as boxing. And that's hard, too. But I feel like you handle it however you should. So, like, I feel like you don't have to go public with it. Like, you know, I have mental health problems. You should go get therapy or whatever. Seek professional help, you
mm-hmm.
know. If any, talk to somebody you know that you're really close with
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, let it out. It doesn't have to be in public, I say, because, you know, you got to think about it as a sport we're in. Mental health. I mean, it's an understandable thing, but you know, we're embarrassing, you know.
I'm
punch somebody in the face, you know.
Yeah, people definitely you know, I guess may look at that as a weakness or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's and it's not like a weakness like in his boxing, it's a weakness in like just
your
mental.
Yeah,
your mental. You don't want to be, you know, shown weak as in
your or vulnerability more than anything.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. Now's the time to get this guy.
Yeah, oh, because he's fucked up.
Exactly.
Like, let me go after him. But I say seek it professional help, you know, or go to somebody. But I definitely don't think it should be public. But if it, you know, if it comes out and it's, you feel like it's the right moment, why not?
Absolutely.
Know? It was this time. It was this moment, Manuel.
Those are all the questions. I want to thank you, obviously, for coming on the show and then chopping it up with us. We would love to get you back, and we're also going to be doing our show every day at 12 p.m. from the casino as well. So we're still here, but we do a second show for the win.
So after this, you go straight to the win.
Yeah.
Hustlers, baby.
So I don't know if you saw where Sushu was at yesterday with Sean Porter. So that's what we'll be. Sean is there on Mondays. We'll be there Monday through Friday. So,
okay.
Yeah. So we would love to get
by.
You.
Yeah.
Exactly. We would love to get you in a new studio as well. We're going to take a picture with Cashflow right now, and we'll be right back. Micah, don't forget to remind him to sign the ball. Later. Thank you. and we're back. Hopefully you got your pair of Kenichi Beer Hibernation 5 headphones. Shout out to Kenichi Beer for being part of the TBV family. Shout out to Floyd Cash Flow Diaz for being here in the building with us. Shout out to Bo and Micah holding it down. We are doing a double show today, so we will be back at 12 o'clock live from the Wynn. And we got a 4 o'clock untitled show. We're going to try and do this. Danny, I'm showing this beautiful shirt. Tell the world all about it.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Little hiccup there. Yes. Yeah, so that is from a good friend of ours over at Bueno. Could you stand up real quick, Ness? I just want them to see the Bueno. You know what I'm saying?
Bueno.
Yeah, so it's a, you know, up-and-coming clothing line, Bueno. It means good, literally. Like, Bueno means good, and It Means Good is their Instagram. And, bro, they're big fans of the show, sent us some gear, a nice handwritten letter. And I would like to say thank you to our good friend Alexander Blaine for sending us.
Damn.
Yeah, Alexander Blaine.
That sounds so cool. It's like, what's my man name with the Blaine last name?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. David Blaine. Yeah. So shout out, bro. Thank you so much. It Means Good. Bueno. Go check them out. They do have their Instagram is It Means Good.
And that's literally what Bueno means.
So I found that really clever, you know, because obviously it's a Spanish word and, you know, I just found that shit real clever.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to our friends over there. Alexander, thank you again, brother. We do appreciate you. That was quick too, bro. Let me tell you, I gave him the address the next morning. He sent me a tracking number.
Damn.
He's like, just in case, bro. Mm-hmm. And then like 2 days later, fucking box was at my front door.
Call you. The receiver. C-Dub, what up? Oh, actually, shit. Oh, yeah, he's there. What up?
Yo, man. PBV, what's good?
What up, man?
Yo. Smash that like button. It's free. Do something with yourself. You know, shout out to the panel. I mean, shout out to everybody. Yo, man, let me go into, man, the Pound for Pound is very opinionated, but, you know, we got to be true with ourselves, man, and, you know, we just got to remove some people, man, and add some people, but who I got, number one, Bud, number two, Usyk, number three, Canelo, number four is Inoue, number five, Jamel, number six, Devin, number seven, Josh, you know, number eight, Shakur, nine, Errol, 10, Loma, and I keep Fury out because, you know, just trying to get some light to the lower division. He only had one weight, the heavyweight, you know, which is the, you know, you're supposed to be the strongest man or the, you know, the best man if you are a heavyweight champion. But if I was to put Fury in, I would take Loma out. You know, that's all. Man, Errol is very, very high. I think he should be lower just being at one, you know, one weight. That's about it, though. It's crazy that Bud just can't seem to get that recognition, that number one. First it was Canelo, and it was Loma ahead of him. Now they put Usyk ahead of him. So, you know, Bud's still number one. It's his spot to lose until he loses it. When we got Bud number one pound for pound.
C-Dub, thank you for calling in.
Who we got next? Number to call in, 425-569-5241. Press one time.
Don't forget, in a few minutes, we will be having Johnny Fisher, UK heavyweight. The Rumford Bull is in the building. He's invaded U.S. Interviewing this guy since his pro debut virtually. It's going to be interesting to get him live in his flesh. If you're joining us right now, don't forget to smash that thumbs up button as we're going to have heavyweight upcoming prospect Johnny Fisher from across the pond. And later today, we'll have Joe Joyce at 12 on our 12 p.m. show live from the Wynn Casino.
Shout out.
Shout out. Any super chats?
Jam-packed day of guests, man.
Jam-packed day of work. Don't forget we got Untitled at 4 o'clock. Trying to set the precedent, man. Work ethic like no other. We got Kendall Surge. Super chat says, Rodriguez is more entertaining than Haney, future pound for pound. And he means Ben Rodriguez, I'm assuming. Jazz 11 with a $5 euro who said, how old is Luis Ortiz? 40s?
Let me see. He old as hell.
I'm saying los 40s.
Okay. Let me see.
In the meantime, I'll spin that
43,
wheel. Jazz
43.
11. 43 years old. Does he get old overnight? Or does he become the first heavyweight George Foreman to win a title after 40? Or is D-Hop? And you landed on the Canelo giveaway, which means go ahead and send in a remaining balance of $70, and we will add you to our Canelo Triple G raffle. And if you win, we'll fly you out, round trip,
put
hotel,
you in
even a Uber ride to the big 40,000, 48 square feet thousand facility here.
48 square feet thousand.
Whatever he said. You know, where we're going to be doing anything on that night. But anyway, we got our first guest, which is really our second guest of the day. The Rumford Bull in the buildings. We're going to take a quick intermission, sit him down, and be right back.
On in. You can have a seat. I'm going to adjust your camera. We had a freaking lightweight in, and now we got a super heavy.
By the Rumford Bull, up-and-coming prospect heavyweight, Johnny Fisher. What's going on, man? Happy to have you here in the States, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm really enjoying my time here, and it's great to come on your show. Enjoying every minute of being here. It's been brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you. So a week in Las Vegas, who have you gotten work with?
Well, mostly the sparring partner I'm over here with, Joe Joyce, which is always great work. And I've done a few rounds with Carlos Takam as well, which was brilliant work because completely different styles, really. But it's good to be operating with them sort of world-level guys. People have mixed it with the top guys because myself, I'm just sort of beginning my career, getting some momentum. And it's very important that you learn off these guys who've been in the ring before with top-level opponents.
Getting some momentum. Look at this humble guy. How many tickets you sold your last fight? I think that's the latest, I guess, big thing about the Rumford Bull is that everyone is supporting you back home.
Well, when I fought at Alexandra Palace in London, I done 3,000 tickets. But I could have done a lot more. I could have got more. If I got them early, other tickets, I could have done about 5,000. I done 1,500 tickets in 24 hours. They were gone. And then we fought in Sheffield, which is up the north of England, and we've done 1,000 tickets there. So it's great that the support isn't just in London. I'm getting support from all over the country, which is brilliant, and I'm very grateful for that.
So tell us how it all started. Why boxing? Because I hear you played rugby, right?
Yeah. Well, I've always boxed since I was young. Since I was 6 or 7, I've been in and out of the boxing gyms as an amateur, just always been in it from a young age. And then, as you said, I played rugby at sixth form, so like high school and at university and college. So but boxing's always been in the background, and I started boxing again when I was 19 after a few years focusing on my studies and rugby, and I sort of fell back into it. I sparred a couple of guys, Dave Allen, the White Rhino, and then Joe Joyce, and Joe Joyce sort of is the guy who gave me the opportunity to come out to Vegas, and we built a relationship with SJM, the management team, and they got me with Matchroom Boxing, and it's just been one thing after the other, just enjoying the moment, not thinking too far ahead, taking one step at a time, one fight at a time. And that's the attitude I sort of carried on because I think that's what's keeping it fresh. That's keeping me enthusiastic about the sport, and I'm enjoying every single second of it.
Absolutely. So boxing wasn't the first love then?
Boxing was the first love. I've always enjoyed boxing, always loved boxing since I was 5, 6 years old. I've always had a fascination with it. But in terms of professional sport and high-level sport, it's probably rugby what I played the highest level at. I played at Exeter University, got great professional setup there with video analysis, with physios, and really, really high-level sport. They're the champions at the moment of all the university teams in England. So that was my first sort of taste of higher performance sport. And it's good because I've seen a different aspect of high-level sport in the team environment. But it always comes back to boxing, and I'm glad it has. I'm enjoying it.
What would you say are some of the differences in training across the pond and here in Vegas?
What I've been exposed to is Ismael Salas' style of boxing, the Cuban style, and mm-hmm. very, very different technique-wise. It's not been a struggle, but it's very different. It's hard work learning a new style, learning a new technique. It drains a lot of your mental energy. So it's been good to come over here, like the correct technique of punches, holding your hands in a certain way. It's been really interesting to be exposed to that, and it works really well for Joe Joyce, and it's good. I can probably take some certain things from the style of Ismael Salas and implement that into my own game when I go home to England.
So what you're learning from Salas is just temporary, though? Like, you're just picking up what you can soak in from him? It's not like you're switching trainers?
No, I'm not switching trainers. I've got a great trainer back home, Mark Tibbs and Jimmy Tibbs, well-renowned where I live in London. And I've improved so much of him. When I look from my first fight to my sixth fight, there's definitely improvements being made there. And I've got to just keep that going. It's not like I'm taking leaps and bounds forward. I'm not a world-class fighter. I know that. But hopefully the steps and the foundations are being made for me to go to the top of the sport. And it's good to come away and pick the brains of other coaches and other people to train. And Mark Tibbs appreciates that as well.
Shout out to Mark Tibbs, and he's a great trainer. He's trained a lot of good fighters, for sure. So you're in some good hands over there with Mr. Tibbs, without a doubt. Is he training? Oh my God, we've interviewed her so much.
Yeah, he used to train Billy Joe Saunders.
She's a female. Astrid.
Ebony Bridges. And,
okay.
And Elle Brooke as well. I think are you thinking of Elle Brooke?
No, I'm thinking of the girl. Yes, that's who I'm thinking of.
Not Astrid Witt, the other one.
There's another one. Elle Brooke is the girl that she was fighting.
Okay.
Astrid pulled out, and then she fought someone else. But she's, to be fair to her, she's dedicated herself to it really well, the sport. And,
yeah.
Listen, I like Mark Tibbs' attitude, because he thinks if someone wants to train hard, if they want to put the work in, it doesn't matter who you are, you get the opportunity. And, he's a great trainer. And his personality, the way he is as a person, I really do gel with Mark really well, and it's great to be part of that setup.
Johnny, I gotta ask, how was it meeting Deontay? First time you met him?
It was through Malik Scott, who's got a good relationship with Joe Joyce, and mm-hmm. Really friendly guy. I was a bit nervous going up to him because I thought he's eating his dinner. I know if someone was coming up to me eating my dinner, I wouldn't be happy about it. Mm-hmm. But I was polite, and he was very friendly and obliging, and it was great to see him. Obviously, had 3 great fights with Tyson Fury, which will go down in history, and especially the third fight, he gave it everything, and I really do think I put Deontay Wilder in that top 2-3 heavyweight bracket. I think he gives anyone on the planet a hard night's work.
How did you ask Malik to throw you in there for a few rounds? See what it's like to be in with that former world champ?
Yeah, listen, it would be unbelievable to get rounds with Deontay Wilder, but I spoke to Mark Tibbs before I got out here. Your job here is to do work for Joe Joyce, and if you can nick a few rounds with other people, that'd be brilliant, but you've got to be fresh for Joe, and I could go off to all these different gyms and spar people like Wilder, and there's Michael Hunter over the road as well, which would be great for me, but the professionalism in me as well, I've got to be part of Joe Joyce's camp, and it's worked well so far because I've sparred Joe, but I've also sparred a great guy in Carlos Takam as well, so I'm not putting myself out there looking, I'm going to go and spar this guy, spar that guy. The experience will come, and I'm enjoying every second of being over here.
Yeah, I mean, being with Joyce and Salas,
yeah,
you will have plenty of heavyweights if, like you said, you know, you find the time and you have the energy, because you do have to be fresh for Joe Joyce. And credit to Joe Joyce for using a young, up-and-coming, hungry guy like yourself.
Definitely.
How has that been for you? Because you're so familiar. It's been, you know, he actually put you on. So
definitely.
How are those sessions because of the familiarity and the comfort?
Well, exactly. Well, I started sparring Joe even before I turned professional. I was still playing rugby at the time. I was 19, 20 years old. And we sort of gelled, and he's brought me on. He's been a gentleman about it, really, because when I first started, I could probably last 2-3 rounds. My style was even more aggressive, and you can only sustain that for so long. And the way that he's sort of been able to progress me and use his experience to get the best out of me, now we can do 6-8 rounds and at a very good pace. And there's some, like we sparred on Friday, some great action in there. People all clapping in the gym saying how well we done. And it's good because by him coaxing me along, he's got the best out of me, and it helps him with his camps as well. And we've got a really, really good relationship. He's a good friend of mine, and I can't thank him enough for bringing me into the heavyweight mix.
Does it matter to you that it's here or across the pond, or does it add an element of excitement for you being that, oh, you know, we need you to help Joyce camp in Las Vegas, America?
Well, definitely. But the first time it happened 3 years ago, I was at university still, and Sam Jones at the time, who was part of SJ, he said, oh, we need you for a few rounds, sparring Joyce. And I thought, oh, we'll go to London for a few hours trip, go out there, that'd be great. But you know, you're coming out to Vegas. And I sort of jumped out my time because I was a university student to be back again and building on that, being a little bit more experienced at the time, a little bit more familiar with it. It's just brilliant to come back, and I have to come back as frequently as I can because it is the capital of the world to be here in Vegas, soak up the atmosphere, and it just makes you a little dream. Maybe one day fighting the MGM Grand or Caesars Palace or something like that. It'd be a brilliant experience.
What was your biggest takeaway from that first trip to America?
It was good to go to the UFC gym, actually, and see how athletes train as well. Not just boxing specialists, people from all different sports, the professionalism, people, their diet, the way they recover, all the different little 1%, 2%, they all add up. Because before, I was just winging it, but I was just saying, oh, I was in every minute of it, enjoying the boxing. But after that trip, I sort of professionalised myself a little bit more in terms of the recovery, the diet as well. Listen, I've never been a drinker. I don't drink, but it just educates your mind a little bit how top level athletes train, and you can take little things away. That's what I try and do everywhere I go, whether it's up north in England, whether it's away in Vegas. There's always little things you can pick up off other trainers, off other athletes, and that's what I've always tried and do, build off them.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
So I was going to ask, obviously you've mentioned in the interview, you're not elite, you're starting out, you've been very humble with where you feel you are at in career, but UK, which puts you with some very big names in the heavyweight division, but overall in boxing as well. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on being seen in the UK and, you know, right on the list with Anthony Joshua, Dillian White, Derek Chisora, Joe Joyce, Daniel Dubois, Huey Fury, David Allen, Fabio Wardley, Nathan Gorman, David Adelaide, and even Cash Ali, Solomon, who's actually with SJ Boxing, the Dakaris, right? And yeah. Yourself at 13. So you're like right there with the biggest names in the store.
This is not the difficulty. This is what we've got to maneuver quite well, because not only is it that I've got that ranking in Britain, the amount of tickets I sell as well. So the appetite is there for me to be pushed and to be pushed and to be pushed. One thing I've sort of realised with my team and my dad as well is a big part of it. There's no rush with me. I'm 23 years old. And then we look at the heavyweights there. 31, 32, 33, that's when you're in your prime. Listen, the tests will come as and when they're meant to come. But for me at the minute, I'm learning so much. I feel, even in my last fight, the relaxation in my mind and getting that nervous energy, I'm controlling it a lot better. So for me, just being in the ring, getting ring time, getting ring experience, that's going to be the key. And it's about not bowing to the pressure of people, of outside forces, to my fans. I've got great supporters and everyone understands. And the way I've conveyed my message, there is no rush whatsoever, because we've got to realise in this modern world as well, the more we try and push things and we try and rush things, and everyone wants things instantly, but that's not the case, especially in boxing. You'll get found out very soon. So like anything, it takes time, it takes progression and the right steps at the right time, stepping up them levels very slowly. And then when I'm ready, maybe it might be 3-4 years time, throw myself in the mix with another big name. But until that time, until we know we're ready, and while I'm listening to my trainer, that's when we'll take the right steps.
For sure.
That's not something you hear normally. So I just want to give you credit because most people are in a rush to say, yeah, I want a title shot. I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, again, credit to your humbleness.
And that's not me saying, listen, if someone said, do you want to fight this guy? I'm not going to back down from a fight. Of course not. You're not going to back down in your instincts as a fighter. You always give yourself a chance against anyone. But thinking in a sensible way in terms of my progression and my and the levels that I've got to reach, I'm very conscious and aware of where I am. And if I want to maximize my potential in this sport and see how far I can go, it's very important that we take the right logical steps to get to the top of the sport.
Danny, I cut you off. You want?
Yeah, no, you mentioned your father. I got to ask, how's Big John doing?
Big John's doing very well. He's on holiday at the minute in Greece.
I've
probably
seen.
Living it up, having a few beers and enjoying himself. But, yeah, my dad's been great for me. My biggest supporter, my biggest critic is tell me I'm doing something wrong. And when your dad tells you doing something wrong, he's probably always right. So it's great to have him on board.
I love the relationship you guys have. I love to, seeing the chicken-eating contest and your dad really cracks me up, so it's good to see, and I'm glad that we have you here in the studio.
Yeah, it's good to eat my tickets for me as well. He still does them all by hand, so he's not got a computer, does it all written down. He was doing like 2,500 tickets, people coming into our living room, like picking up tickets and sending them all out.
So, and then he writes like so and so bought.
Yeah, he puts it all down at a little table.
Getting
old school.
Teach that man how to use Google Docs.
Or Google
Docs.
But I don't think he didn't want to do it. I think he loves the
fact
he
loves
it. Like, his business as well. He still does it all by hand. I think that's just the way he is. But if it works for him, it works for him.
For real.
Absolutely. Shout out to Big John.
Shout out Big
John. Obviously, like you said, you're not in a rush, but I feel like what the UK is known for is building up domestic rivals. Like, Billy Joe and James Miguel fought at 11-0. I mean, it's so many. I can't. You would be able to list it being from there better than
I mean,
like, look at Conor. Yeah. No world title. He's fighting his rival. Is there someone out there? Like, I would throw Wardley's name, but I'm letting you pick. Is there someone out there that is Rumford's Bulls rival?
Well, I wouldn't say Fabio. I sparred countless rounds with, and we really developed each other. We sparred just before the last fight at the O2, and we've developed, we've leveled up, and that's great. If we can keep that going. There's one guy over here who keeps calling me out.
He's been dying to come.
Christopher Lovejoy.
Yeah. He's been dying to come through, I swear. I was going to say, look, I got him finally and see when we show up, but I'm like, you know, it's the first time I get you. I don't want to sandbag you.
Yeah, no, that'd be brilliant, because I think, listen, he's still a dangerous guy. There's not much known about him. Any knockouts, but any guy who can knock a heavyweight out or heavyweight guy, it's got some people there. And we are going at home in London, in England. People ask, when you fight Christopher Lovejoy, when you fight
really
Lovejoy,
crazy,
they love it. Because
have you talked to Tyson about that fight?
No, I haven't actually. I haven't. I know I've seen Tyson. He interacted with him a bit in the gym.
Yeah,
because he had a lot to say about Tyson. Tyson ran down on him.
He says a lot about a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, I think for my development and the appetite from the arrival at 11-0. I'm right in saying James DeGale was an Olympic gold medalist, and Joe was a world champion as an amateur, like won the world championship or competed at the top level amateur. I had four amateur fights.
Mm.
So I'm just, in terms of amateur.
You're turning on a job.
Yeah, I am, which is exciting for people to watch as well, because there will be, it's inevitably going to be things go wrong. I think my last in this fight, cut stuff, I had a bad hand. So the learning's going to be there for people to see. It's quite exciting. That's different from a lot of them guys with amateur pedigree. The learning will be there, and it will be clear to see, and hopefully people will see progression as they go, and that's quite exciting for people to watch.
Did you tune into this big fight last weekend?
Yeah. Who's fighting again? Remind me. I was watching.
Past weekend. Come on. You know, they did 20,000 in the O2. That was a big event.
I did watch it, and I'm a big fan of Jake Paul a lot. I do like the way I can see his progression, for example, and I think he's got talent. He can fight, but I watched the KSI, and to be honest, I wasn't impressed with the level of the opponents. I think it was a bit under par, but as you said, people tune in. It does huge numbers, so while it's doing huge numbers, people are going to keep tuning in and watching. So it's exciting still, because He was calling out Andrew Tate. He was calling out Jake Paul. That's a good matchup, KSI and Jake Paul.
I was going to ask, do you think that Jake Paul has separated himself, or do you think that KSI can compete with?
I don't think KSI can compete with Jake Paul. I think Jake Paul, he's got a good trainer in BJ Flores. Shout out to BJ Flores. I've met him when I was over here before. And he's on a different level to them guys now. And I think the Jake Paul-Tommy Fury fight is a very, very interesting matchup. But I'd still love to see KSI Jake Paul, because KSI's got a bit of ability, but not on the level of Jake Paul.
Totally agree. What do you think about, you said you'd like to see the Tommy Fury fight.
I really don't know, because Tommy Fury is not the level of experience either. Not that many amateur fights under his belt. It's a tough fight, because I've seen Jake Paul against Tyron Woodley, knocked him clean out. He's got power, he can punch, a great trainer. And it's how Tommy could deal with the pressure of the big nights as well. That's what we want to see. But beating Jake Paul is not going to be an easy step. You'd like to think Fury's got that degree in terms of background as Fury's brother and being part of the Fury name. I'd love to see him do it as a Brit as well. But it's an easy night's work, and I think his team are aware of it as well. So it'll be a great matchup when I get there.
Do you think, you know, you start with Dave Allen, kind of is what led you down this path. He's been retired. Is that a fight, or are you two much of friends? They'd rather find someone else domestic.
This is the thing, right? Dave Allen was someone I looked up to, and I was at university watching him on YouTube and stuff, and watching his fights, and I had no clue I was going to be a boxer when I first went to university. And when we first sparred, I was like 18, 19 years old, and I'm not going to lie, he taught me a lesson a little bit. He was very tough, very strong. It was just before he fought Lucas Brown.
He got a great stoppage for that fight.
Yeah. And he was just looking in such good shape. And I've done 6 rounds of him, and Darren Barker was...
At 18?
Yeah. And
man, you're fucking bull for real.
And Darren Barker's was his trainer at the time. And he always says to me, because Darren Barker works with Matchroom now, he said, you showed a certain level of toughness there that you can't teach. You kept coming, you kept giving it, you kept trying to get your shots off. You had no really experience of how to spar a top level heavyweight or a guy of that level. And listen, I took a lot away from that spar in terms of I've got the character. I knew from that point I've got the character and the cojones, what it takes to be a professional boxer. So I can take a lot away from that. And whether that means I'm going to fight Dave Allen, who knows what happens in 3, 4, 5 years' time. But I don't like to put names on things. One, because I don't need to, because I've got the following to have that progression at the pace I need. But we are all going to have to fight at one day. It's going to have to happen.
Absolutely. So I would assume, or one would assume, that you're happy with the way your career is projecting and the trajectory of it, and with Matchroom specifically. Are you?
Yes, I am happy. I'm happy with being with Matchroom and Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn, a world level, probably the best promoter in the game, people would say. So it's brilliant. I've got my managers as well who keep my head on my shoulders, keep me secure. My dad especially as well. Someone who's always going to be brutally honest with you is your dad. So it's important. We've got a great relationship with Matchroom, SJ, and my dad, and we're building a nice little unit now. And it's just about managing and being on that right trajectory, as you say. It's been brilliant so far. It's about not getting too ahead of yourself. I know what level I'm at and the levels I've got to get through, because even before you say you fight these big names, there's going to be tests on the way. I've had 6 fights, 5 knockouts, had a little bit of adversity in my 5th fight in terms of dealing with a broken hand and having a cut in the first 30 seconds. So even little things like that, they test your mettle and they test how well your character, and little things like that are going to progress me. And when the time is right, we'll keep stepping it up.
Is Alan Babic the nemesis, the hometown rival? He's also with Dillian White, nothing to do with S-Jam. Is that something we could get cooking?
Oh, you keep trying to get me to call people out.
I'm just trying to see who rubbed the right way.
No one. I'm being honest. It might sound like I'm going to be the nice guy, but I get on with these guys. Alan Babich, I've done a couple of shows with him as well. He's an absolute warrior. I've got an admiration for his style. And he's campaigning at Bridgeweight now. And, there was another guy who was talking about him. I can't
remember. He went down to Bridgeweight.
Yeah.
Smart.
He fought at Bridgeweight. I can't remember who he fought, and he won the title at that weight. I know Oscar Rivas is the champion of Bridgeweight in a minute. So it's a smart move, because he's got ferocity, and if he had that ferocity at lower weight, it's going to pay dividends later on. Because
that is a smart move. I didn't know that. I like that.
I like the tone of the Savage well. It gets people interested. You need characters in heavyweight boxing. And
yes.
I seem to have a few of their own now, which is great. And it's bringing a bit of interest back. Even that top level, the guys coming through, everyone's got a little bit of a persona. And it's good for the sport and the grassroots level as well.
What would you say is the highest accolade a fighter could be given in this sport?
Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. The heavyweight champion of the world is recognized across the globe, the baddest man on the planet. You think of Mike Tyson, you think of Lennox Lewis, them sort of guys.
So for a lightweight, though, what would...
Or a boxer in general, is still undisputed?
Yeah, I think undisputed to be the king of your division, very, very important. But you can't get any better than that. Or if you're looking at it from another perspective, to be the best of your career to all everyone, which is... But the closest you can get to that, as a signal of that, it would be undisputed, because that's a signal of the fact you fought everyone out there in your vision, and you're the king of that hill.
What did you think of that AJ fight with Usyk?
AJ made a better go of it this time. Was a bit more assertive, a bit more aggressive. I was actually on the plane over here as the fight was going on.
Oh.
I couldn't get the Wi-Fi. I was just kept off the air stewardess. Can you get the Wi-Fi? Can you get the Wi-Fi? But I was the highlight after, and it seemed to me that he could have been a little bit more aggressive in the early rounds, but you've just got to give massive credit to Usyk. Always like a wasp, always finding them little angles, buzzing around, getting them jabs off. But he invested a lot more to the body this time, Joshua. He had a very good round in round 9. But yeah, I still think I'll give it to Usyk. But it was a much better account than the first fight.
How would the Rumford Bull approach a fight with Usyk? Because, you know, now two fights are in the history books, and people still believe AJ just needed to go be a big man.
Yeah.
Now they're using that round 9 as the proof. Like, look, he hit him to the body. Look at the way he reacted. How would you approach a fight with Usyk?
Well, it's very easy for me to sit here and say, just go and rough him up, beat him up. But trying to implement that is a lot harder. Some of the footwork of Usyk, someone that's, that is the most, with saying that, it's still the most reasonable, realistic way to beat Usyk. I think back to the fight he fought Chisora. Usyk beat Chisora. Rough and tough mentality is the way to go. If I stay there and try to out-jab Usyk, or I try to outmaneuver Usyk, I've got a chance. But I've got a chance. I know physically I can match his strength at least. I've got the aggression to unloading combinations. So you've got to come forward. You've got to pressure him as much as you can. But it's very, very easy to sit here and say, do that. Against someone like the technician, like Usyk, is another thing trying to then implement that.
How does Tyson Fury fare in that matchup against Alexander Usyk? Rumor is potentially February Super Bowl weekend somewhere in the Middle East. So how does that fight play out in your mind?
I think Tyson beats Alexander Usyk purely because of the size advantage, the experience he's got of fighting all different types of opponents. And I think if Tyson Fury needs to, he doesn't have to win spectacularly. He can find a way to win. No matter what, being a big man, being 19, 20 stone, laying on a guy who's not a real heavyweight in a sense, where he's fought at cruiserweight most of his life and fought at lower weights as an amateur. So, yeah, I think the skill set and the mindset of Tyson Fury is going to beat Alexander.
So, yeah, he actually lost to Sean Porter in amateurs.
Yeah, I heard about this actually.
As a middleweight.
As a middleweight.
It's crazy to think.
I wonder if Porter should have just been a middleweight. He beat Daniel Jacobs 6 times, dropped him 7 times as an amateur.
Really? Really?
Well, and his father just kept making him lose weight from 165 to 47.
Maybe he should have stayed, but...
He's short as fuck, though.
Yeah, so maybe that's why he's trying to get him down. You got to fight that light weight. Well, who knows what could have happened.
Were you in camp with Tyson for the Chisora fight, or have you ever been...
I spent a week or two with him up in camp in Morecambe before the Wilder 3 fight, and was up there with some good guys, and he was putting the work in, so it was good to see.
What do you think of his work ethic?
Yeah, he's got a great team, and what it was, that was just, he was quite conscious of COVID at the time as well, so all the people that were in the gym were the 3 or 4 sparring partners, Sugar Hill and sometimes Big John Fury, and for a guy who's been a world champion, who's fought at the top level, to come back and still have that motivation to keep going. We were sparring one time, it was 12-round spar with 4 guys, and I could see when it got to round 8, round 9, it was getting tough, but I could see a little bit of glimpse of that mentality, of that Spartan mentality, where you won't give up, and that's what separates the best from the rest, I think, that that ability not to give up, because you can be as skillful as you want, you can be as quick as you want, as powerful as you want, but the thing that separates the best from the rest is having the mindset of, I will never, ever give up.
From what you saw, how would you rate his work ethic compared to other fighters? Because I've,
we hear that he's works like no other heavyweight, especially running wise. Most heavyweights don't run. They say that this guy loves to run.
Yeah, well, I got there on a Sunday, and they'd done a huge run before, and all the guys were saying, man, that run is a killer. So stories that I've heard, he's a diligent trainer. But at the same time, there's a fine balance between being a diligent trainer and training as hard as you can and getting that rest period in as well. I used to be guilty of that a little bit when I was 18, 19, 20. I thought, just train as hard as I can. And then when you get to the fight or you get to a sparring session, you've got nothing left. The key is staying fit and staying ready for sparring, because that's the most realistic training method you can do before the fight. So it is a fine balance between training as hard as you can and making sure you're well rested and training optimally as well.
How long before you walked up to him and said, how'd you get up, mate? Like, how the fuck did you get up from that shot?
At first, I was just in awe of just being around him. And he's such a down-to-earth, nice person to be around. But he just treated us as equals. You know, someone of that accolade, they could be, like, standoffish and not mix with you too much. But he just treated us as equals. And that was, I remember just warming up on the bag before the first time I'm going to spar him. And I just had a little epiphany in my head, like, how the hell did I end up here sparring the best of the era and one of the best of all time? So it's just a pinch me moment just to be around him and be in his presence.
What was the biggest takeaway from the sparring?
It was more, not just the sparring, but the advice he gave me. Him and his dad said to me after, do not let anyone rush you in this sport. Do what you think's right and trust your dad, because your dad is the man who knows you better.
Which is crazy
else.
Because he has like 20-something fights. So, you know,
even
though he took his time because of time off and inconsistencies, like his resume is getting
even more
stacked.
But that's what, when someone like that gives you the advice of not rushing, he's talking from his own experience, and he's someone who's fought at them that sort of domestic level and worked himself up and fought in America and got to the top of the sport. Can't not take that. Got to take that advice forward, and especially from his dad, obviously seen it and on the sidelines and watched. He said, don't let anyone rush you. Don't let anyone tell you what you think's right for you. Trust your team and keep your team small. And that's what I'm going to try and do.
Few questions from people. James Valdez and San Antonio, you already answered that. So any of these we might have went over by mistake or because we asked them, you can just ignore or add if you need to add. Ruin the New Orleans says, do you plan to close the year out with another fight?
Yeah, we've got two more fights lined up. I can't say, it's not been announced yet, but two quick turnaround fights. One's going to be abroad in a nice location, and then we're going to come back to London, and we're going to get a nice bit of the Romford Bawami out in London.
All right, abroad in a nice location.
Yeah.
We got Jazz who says, are you trying to develop your left hook?
Yeah, that's something we've actually have been doing with Mark Tibbs, because sometimes with sparring, I'm a bit guilty of sort of clothing it or trying to reach too much. I'm trying to shorten it up at the minute. So when I'm in that little roll, I can roll out quite nicely. But in sparring, it's just about turning that hook over a little bit more, because otherwise you're losing a bit of power when you're trying to reach for it a bit too much.
Brandon in Houston, could you put into perspective for us American fans how big Ben versus Eubank Jr. is, or is it big at all to you?
It's a massive fight. Everyone knows, whether you're a boxing fan or just someone who's a sports fan or a general member of the public, everyone remembers Chris Eubank Sr. versus Nigel Benn. And this is just like a continuance of that legacy. So it is a very, very big fight.
What'd you make of Eubank Jr. with
the Kentucky
Fried Chicken?
Well, it's just like a bit of mind games, I think, because we know he's got to come down even more than he's had to come before. So I think it's going to affect him a little bit coming down that weight. But it's just a bit of mind games to Conor Benn saying, I'm going to make it easy. And all that stuff saying, I'm only going to be 60% for the fight. I'm only going to be 70%. It's just to get into Conor's head a little bit, I think.
Jalen Gobar says, a lot of fans say that the American amateur boxing scene is a better one and builds more champions compared to across the pond in the UK. How do you feel about that statement? And does these types of topics light a fire under you, knowing you will have a chance to fight in America.
Yeah, well, for me, I didn't even experience really the English or the British amateur system, where I had a handful of amateur fights, but I know we've got a great setup with Team GB, a great international team in terms of going to the Commonwealth Games and going to the Olympics, but Golden Gloves. Competitions and stuff. I don't know. Do they still go on?
Yeah, the Golden Gloves. You got obviously Nationals and whatnot as well. So.
I can imagine like the pool of talent here is probably a lot larger in terms of the population size and stuff. But I do know how difficult it is in the UK to be a great amateur as well, to get to the top. So I think both got their different aspects. But we'll see, won't we? When the top guy from America fights top guy from Great Britain, both great amateurs, we can probably. That's when you can do the measuring of it, can't you?
As a British fighter and a disinterested party, right? Would you want to come out to see Errol Spence versus Terence Crawford? Is that a fight that interests you?
Yeah.
To fly though, to travel, not to tune in.
No, not to fly really.
Okay.
I'm thinking of like as a average British fan, you wouldn't be. Too interested. The names that come up in Great Britain are the Dillian Whites, the Anthony Joshuas, the Tyson Furies. They're the guys, they're the big pulls, obviously because they're heavyweights as well. I'm thinking of the average British fan. They're the sort of people that get brought up in conversation.
So let me ask you this. Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, people fly out for that.
Where should that fight take place?
They do big numbers in England, in Wembley or Cardiff in the Millennium Stadium. But I think we need to... all this boxing going to Saudi Arabia. I know the money is massive over there, but the big fights as well, the big heavyweight fights, is great when it's in the MGM Grand. It's great when it's in Caesar's Palace and the Cosmopolitan and places like that. I still think we've got to try and
keep it in Vegas.
Vegas is the fight capital. You think back to the great fights of the 80s and 90s as well. We just want to. It's great when we go to international locations like the Thriller in Manila, the Rumble in the Jungle, but we want to keep the epicenter in Las Vegas. That's the pinnacle.
So, would you say that Las Vegas for the British fight fan is the most appealing city? Because I know New York is a closer flight,
yeah.
But some people complain about the cold or maybe not as much things to do. Do you think Vegas is the most appealing for the Brits?
Well, from my experience with my fans, everyone really wants that away day to Las Vegas. Everyone keeps talking about. We just can't wait till the Romford Bull or Johnny Fisher fights in Las Vegas. That's what they always say. So it'd be great to have a fight out here. But with the Lovejoy fight, I think it'd be better if we have it in London because of the support that we could have over there. Everyone over there is talking about getting Lovejoy, and it'd be great to have him over in the UK.
Well, he's
how realistic is that fight? He's listening.
He's listening.
It's very realistic. I want that fight at some point, hopefully early next year. I want it to happen. We want to make it happen. It's up to Lovejoy if he wants to have it.
So that's the holdup, is Lovejoy.
I'm ready. I'm ready to fight him. I think it'd be a great fight. So I don't know if it's my. I've got to talk to my promoters, say this is the fight we want. Maybe I've got to just say this is the fight we want next. But yeah, Lovejoy. I know Lovejoy came over to fight Dave Allen, and there was a bit of difficulty with contracts, with promoters and stuff. So maybe that's why there's a bit of a hold up. But we'll be ready, maybe early next year.
Big Casual says, "What up, champ? Another one of your peers fought over the weekend in Jared Anderson.
Yes.
If you were able to watch the fight, were you impressed with his performance, and do you see that as a big heavyweight fight in the future? And if so, do you think Yao will meet up at the top for a title, or better yet, a unification, or do you see that fight happening while you're both still prospects?"
I saw the knockout. I didn't see the full fight. It was another great knockout for Jared Anderson. He's really stepping up their levels as well, motoring the level of opponent that he's fighting. And I'm always honest with myself and where I am. I'm not on Jared Anderson's level yet. I'm not there. But if I keep progressing the way I'm meant to be, who knows, as you said, for a unification fight, if I earn that right to fight for titles, then I'll be ready for 3, 4, 5 years' time, might be 2 years' time, who knows. But I'm very realistic about where I am. He's an exceptional talent. He's probably leading the way as the best prospect in the world right now.
I feel like you might just have that humble trait, man. How are you sparring with all these elite-level fighters and don't feel that you're good?
I am good. I don't think I'm not good. I know I've got the potential to be one of the best, but the one thing that is not only just in boxing, but in sport in general, people who believe their own hype, people who believe that they're the best, you've got to believe that you've got the potential to be there. But if you start thinking you're cashing checks that you can't, you're not capable of, that's when it all falls down. So it's very important to be very realistic about with yourself, because that's what drives you to keep trying to be better. The fact that you think, I've still got more to go, I've still got more to do, I've still got to keep catching up on these guys. That's what keeps me hungry and keep moving forward.
Johnny, you don't curse?
Not really, no.
I was just asking because we all know Floyd says, don't write checks your ass can't cash. No. You know, so when you change it.
I'm trying to be polite. I think my mum might be watching, so I'm trying to be polite.
Hi, mum.
Hi, mum.
I think that might be all the questions, Johnny. This was a fantastic interview. We want to thank you for joining us bright and early here in Las Vegas. If you can, give out your social media for anybody crazy enough not to be following you, and if you want to point them out any direction, like ticket sales or website. Maybe you have a website where the tickets are always available.
I'd just like to thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And ask me some questions. My Instagram handle is JohnnyFishOn, and it'd be great to have your support and thank you in. It means a lot.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick intermission, take this picture with Johnny, and be right back to answer any calls that might come in.
Thank you.
Figure out how to use it. That's why I felt 15 minutes.
We're back, and we're available for anybody that wants to call in and express their opinion right here on TV. If not, we will hard stop and get you used to that hard stop at 9 p.m. because we do have our second show, which is being launched today, August 29th. And we'll be transmitting live from Blue Wire at 12. Now, this week, won't be live, unfortunately. I know we've been promoting live, but they want to get to know us. Different engineers, entirely different crews that need to mingle with our crew. Bo needs to get to know their engineers. Mike needs to get to know their people and vice versa. So it won't be live. It will be uploaded after the show. Hope you guys enjoyed that. My name is Mr. Gibbs, and I think this show is done. I'm going to refresh Danny gives out social media.
Ring, well, Danny on Instagram, Twitter. Bo, where can the people find you?
Bo Mason _TBV on Instagram.
No Micah K, but she's Micah Jordan. And you can also shout out Sam Sweeney with the $5 pounds. He said, I remember watching Johnny beat up people outside of Simon back in. Hey, lovely blow, laugh out loud. And I think because Johnny was some sort of bouncer, right, at one point? Kind of job.
Security.
Rumford, yeah. Bull. He was breathing like a bull. I see where you get that name.
Yeah, the Rumford Bull. But there's everybody. We are out here. Catch us on the next one. Peace.
Arrivederci.
So you want to go over the email?
Sure.
And whatever you want.
Yeah.
All I got is a thumbnail for them.
Yeah, I don't like.
I'm gonna tell you today. I don't like that you bored me just because the threads be popping up. Like,
nah, you in it.
Bro, you be bored me just. That's why, like, right now when you was talking about when I was talking about the conference, you talking about something else. I'm like, who's me on talking about? I don't want to be.
Yesterday, not them. Or I got something from yesterday that has nothing to do with them.
It's
something really different. I sent you the Amazon influencer thing.
Got that.
I sent you Jordan Harris. I did. Blackout days.
That's blackout days.
I just don't know what to send them there. You want me to do all this pre-plan, like,
kind of pre-plan.
I don't know what they want. The thing says, fellas, hope you're having a good weekend. Our production staff is excited for liftoff tomorrow, seeing if you have any graphics, video packages, or audio tracks you want to roll on tomorrow's show.
Like the Kinky Bear.
The intro.
They got the intro. The Kinky Bear, we're going to use that for the intermission?
I mean, it ain't really much time for it. Intermission.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to use the... And then you ain't going to need no intermission with them. Because they got the green room, everything. They don't got it.
So they're just going to walk in, or they're going to already be there doing it. They're just going to walk in.
Well, remember, they got shit that's off camera.
Right.
They said walk
so
in.
So they walk in, and they just flip around.
I haven't been there yet. Yeah, so
I
haven't been there.
Like, the way they have
like
their
what Rockmo did.
So the way they have it is host, guests.
Where
so
Rockmo was sitting in the chair by itself across from the table that y'all was sitting in. I mean, that Sean was sitting there.
I don't know. Who's Robert?
Oh, you ain't when he was on there talking about the weight.
I mean, yeah, I didn't know he was on there, but yeah, so it's away from the table. So, and I think, what is it that they have? I think 18 or 14 usable cameras. So they can switch to a fucking camera that ain't going to get them in the shot when they bring them in, because it's not, you know, again.
Yeah, I don't know. I just got to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's gonna be simple, bro. Like, it's going to be a couple of days of figuring shit out.
Learning curve.
But they actually have, you know, the proper stuff needed. You know, I can see a kid.
I hate this stuff. Mapping looks like that.
You want to hit up the dispensary?
Nah.
You never had a Mac. Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. Thursday the first, huh? Yeah, I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to.
Look, I've been doing this.
Especially since I bought this yesterday.
Oh, my
head. Well, I'm saying, because it's cheaper, so